high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be across this great globe of ours. How you doing? I'm Art Bell. Happy Thanksgiving, if the time zone is appropriate. Glad to have you. It's going to be a wild night tonight. Sean David Morton, who is the most accurate psychic that I know. I mean, by a country mile, his predictions are absolutely astounding. He's going to be our guest in the next hour. It's just so great to be back on the air again, folks. So, so great. Listen, I named a new affiliate last night in Searcy, Arizona, because that's what was on the paper. But they're not in Searcy, Arizona. I told you last night I didn't know where Searcy, Arizona was. Apparently, there is no such place. It was actually Searcy, Arkansas. So, my apologies. Searcy, Arkansas. I actually don't know where Searcy, Arkansas is either, but I am sure that, indeed, they're in Searcy, Arkansas. Now, I have such an honor and a pleasure tonight to do the following. As you know, I use the expression, the Kingdom of Nye. And a lot of people email me and say, Art, what is the Kingdom of Nye, for gosh sakes? Well, it's one of the largest counties in the United States, Nye, N-Y-E, Nye County, to answer all of your questions. It's Nye County, sort of the last frontier out here. You're really in the Wild West out here. This is the desert, and it's the Wild West. We're near Death Valley, really in the serious high desert. And it's a great place to be anyway. That's where it comes from. The Kingdom of Nye is Nye County. Now, tonight I would like to welcome a new affiliate. Not just any affiliate, but our own affiliate. I'm welcoming KNYE. That's right, KNYE, as in Nye County. 95.1 FM. That's right, 95.1 on the FM dial here in Pahrump, Nevada. This is a fight, and I mean fight, that began about 6 years ago for Ramona and myself. We wanted to have an FM station here in Pahrump, Nevada, for Pahrump, Nevada. And 6 years ago, we began the bureaucratic nightmare of trying to get it done. Well, tonight I can announce to you it is done. But since my wife and I own the radio station, I guess I would really like to thank some of the wonderful people who made it happen for me. Well, for the most part, I laid on my back. As you know, I went through holy hell with my back. And so I've got some people to thank. The station, by the way, is oldies by the day. A lot of my bumper music and music that I love and I know a lot of people love is what plays all day, but at night. So it's oldies by day, but coast-to-coast AM by night. That's right. This program is being carried from 10 p.m. Pacific time to 6 in the morning. How's that for a lot of Art Bell? 7 days a week. The program, even the weekend programs, are carried on KNYE from 10 at night to 6 in the morning. So if you're here in Pahrump, Nevada, or you plan on visiting Pahrump, Nevada, give 95.1 FM a listen. We're on the air right now, as a matter of fact. In fact, I may devote my first-time caller line tonight to Pahrumpians who are able to listen to 95.1. Anyway, I do have some people to thank. Wes Wallace of W Construction, who has been my general contractor, and of course without him I never could have done it in a million years because I was pretty much flat on my back. And all I could do was give direction, and Wes Wallace built the radio station. I mean, he put that sucker together. Along with people like Tim Kochis of Radio Communications Unlimited, engineering. He installed more equipment and ran more wires than you can believe. David Ryan of Scott Studio Systems. David, thank you so much. And David Scott, the owner, of course. They provide the automation gear that runs that radio station like a clock. And that was a big installation. Michael Brown of Super Duty Systems, that's where I got the computers that are in the station. Dean Brenner, who is our Washington FCC attorney. Wonderful guy, stuck with us all the way through, fought with us. James Price of Sterling Communications, our communications consultants, who held our hand through the whole thing. James, thank you. And your dad. They sort of held our hands, and, you know, doing something like this is pretty big, even for a pretty little radio station. And they held our hands, and when things got really, really, really rough, they were there saying, don't worry, it will happen someday. And they were right. It did. And, of course, Denny Todd, who is a madman. He's the best tower guy I've ever seen in my whole life. This guy can climb a gigantic tower like we have, and he put it together. He put the tower together. It was incredible. It was one of the biggest engineering feats I've ever personally watched. It was awesome. So Denny Todd, who will go up a tower like a... guy's crazy. Very good at what he does. Thank you, Denny. Thank all of you, and so many more that obviously I'm not going to take, can't take the time to thank. Listen, we've got a website, not much of one right now. It's just a single page. But if you'd like to take a look at your leisure, you're welcome to. It's KNYE.com. KNYE, that's kilowatt, Nora, yoke, easy. Phonetically, KNYE.com. And there's not much there, but during the day when we're into music, it'll tell you what's playing. Now, of course, we can't stream it because of the weirdnesses of streaming music and other things these days, but we do have a sort of a little keeper website up there, and you're welcome to take a look if you like. Probably will end up crashing my own site. It's KNYE.com. So, for the balance of this particular hour, if you're listening to KNYE 95.1, I can do this since it's my program. And oh, by the way, thank you, Premier Radio, too, because, of course, they carry my show, which is carried on the station. Art Bell all night long, 10 at night to 6 in the morning out here. How about that? So thank you, Premier Radio. And I think that is most of the biggies. A lot of people to thank. It's unimaginable how many people it takes, talented, brilliant people, to put together something as really cool as we have right here in Pahrump, Nevada. 95.1. If you're anywhere around and you're near a radio and you're within earshot of Pahrump, try 95.1. Love to have you. And if you are listening there, I will reserve in the balance of this hour the first time caller line for you, which is area code. Well, you don't need an area code. If you're here in Pahrump, the number is 727-1222. That's 727-1222 right here in Pahrump. All right, a little bit of news, and there's quite a bit of news, actually. The Taliban no longer knows, they say, where Osama bin Laden is. They have no idea where he is. There is no relation now, they say, no communication between the Taliban and bin Laden. So I guess they're tired of talking to him. According to journalists in the southern Afghan border town of Spilbak, the in Taliban-controlled territory, the U.S. Navy gave notice Tuesday it will stop and board merchant shipping off the Pakistani coast. Now, in other words, they think bin Laden might be ready to ship out. And so they're going to stop ships, and they're going to take a look-see. The Pentagon wants to base AC-130 gunships in Uzbekistan to expand attack capabilities for special operations going on in northern Afghanistan. Really interesting, when you think about it, these Russian republics and former Russian republics, which are, I mean, after all, it was the USSR, right? The commies. And now we're basing our troops in former communist countries. That's pretty wild when you think about it. Taliban commanders held negotiations Wednesday over their possible surrender of Kunduz with Northern Alliance officials in the city of Mazar-e-Sharif. Haran Amin, a Northern Alliance spokesperson in Washington, said a final deal had not been reached as of yet. The number of people missing or dead in the September 11th terrorist assault on the World Trade Center is now said to be below 3,900. And this is such a puzzling story. A 94-year-old woman, the one we talked about last night, who lived alone and seldom left her rural home, died of the inhaled form of anthrax today in a baffling new twist in the bioterrorism investigation. From Derby, Connecticut. Now, why would a 94-year-old woman in Derby, Connecticut get inhalation anthrax? Obviously, at her age, she couldn't handle it. It was pretty predictable. I said so, and so it has come to be. There's something about this anthrax story that I think we're not being quite told. Do you have that feeling, too? Maybe Sean David Morton will have something for us tonight. There's just something about this story that's wrong. And I guess I don't really blame the government if they're not telling us everything. There is always a balance that you try to seek. On the one hand, you could create some sort of panic. And on the other, you want to give people legitimate information, and it's hard to strike that balance. Well, y'all are traveling out there. A lot of you on the road. A lot of you out there on the road. And I mean the road. Not so much in the air, but the road. 87% of those traveling this holiday are traveling on rubber. They're not flying. The Montgomery County Council yesterday approved one of the most restrictive anti-smoking measures in the nation, setting stiff fines for anybody who would even smoke in their own home should it possibly offend a neighbor. Holy smokes. Under the county's new indoor air quality standards, tobacco smoke would be treated in the same manner as other potentially harmful pollutants like asbestos, radon, molds, or pesticides. If the smoke should waft into a neighbor's home, whether through a door, vent, or open window, the neighbor could complain to the County Department of Environmental Protection, and guess what? You could be fined up to $750. That's for smoking in your own home. Good Lord, where is this all headed? I suspect at some point tobacco is going to be outlawed. That's right. Outlawed. Completely outlawed. Not yet, because there'd be a revolution. But I think if you look at the way it's going, it's undeniable that eventually they're going to outlaw tobacco altogether. And then there will be crazy people in the country, and I'll be right at the head of the parade. I just don't know what I do. Maybe I guess I'm going to find out, because it looks like they're headed that can't smoke in your own home. $750 fine. Literally, your smoke should waft next door. Unbelievable. Okay, that ought to do it. Can't smoke in your own home. They've lost their minds. My opinion, they've lost their minds. All right, to open lines we go, and again, I want to remind you that should you be listening to my newest affiliate, the one that Ramona and myself own, God, own radio station, it's so exciting. Should you be listening to 95.1 here in Pahrump, Nevada, I'm going to reserve the line, the first-time caller line for you, the balance of this hour, at 727-1222. 727-1222. And you know another reason why it might be interesting to take calls from Pahrump? I don't know whether you saw the cause bulletin or not, but there have been many, many very significant sightings, UFO sightings here in Pahrump. Nothing new there, but we're having a real flap at the moment. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, Art, this is Bill from crossing Bull Alley over here.
In Pahrump.
In Pahrump.
Yeah, in Pahrump, you see, you can say things like across from the bowling alley, and everybody knows where that is. How you doing, Bill?
Fine, thank you, and I'm glad to have you on the air here. I was getting you from the plaza there in Vegas. And,
of course.
And it would fog out on me, and then I got you through Albuquerque, I think it was. So.
That's right, 770.
It's just a hunt and a search, and one suggestion on your music.
Yes.
With the retires here and the snowbird coming in, you might even move it back on occasion, a little older music.
Older? Hey, I'm going back to the 50s.
I've been hearing the 60s on there, so I hadn't heard the 50s yet.
Oh, yeah, they're there. Believe me, they're there. I took what I thought was like the best of the 50s and the best of the 60s and early 70s and put it all together.
Hey, that'll work because I'm a 50s guy.
Another thing we're doing is you may have noticed, there's a lot of stations around say, less talk.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even say less talk. We just do it. There's nothing there, boy. We ID and roar.
Hey, well, I can handle that. I sure appreciate you turning on here.
Okay, I presume it's good and clear there near the building.
Absolutely, yeah. Matter of fact, my dial's saying 95.0. It seems like that's a little better than the 1 on it, so. For some reason.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Now, we're on frequency. This is the 95.1. 95.1. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello there, Art.
Hi.
Just calling about XM Radio.
Oh, yes, sir.
You're
a truck driver, right?
I am a truck driver, yes.
Uh-huh.
And you're from just a little bit east of Amarillo and west of Oklahoma City.
Yes, sir.
I have the Sony that you speak of.
Oh, is it?
And it is excellent.
Isn't it neat?
It is.
How did you manage to find it? They're really rare.
I did call the C Crane Company as per usual, just like my CC radio, but... they were sold, or they didn't have any yet.
That's right.
And ended up getting it from one of the national retailers instead.
Right. Yeah, and when you finally get it all hooked up and running, it's just absolutely awesome, huh?
It is, and I can go everywhere. I've been up way north into the Dakotas already, and like I said, I'm in Texas now, so I get it everywhere I go.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's one dilemma, though, and maybe you'll be able to help me on this.
I suspect I will.
Your program is delayed by 2 days.
I know. You've got to understand that XM is brand new.
Yes.
It is my understanding that within the next week or so, my program will be live.
Excellent.
So, you know, they're like my radio station, they're in growing pains, you know.
Yes.
It's brand new, so.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, it's coming.
Oh, that's great.
Trust me, it's coming. So it is kind of a revolution, and I figured that the people that would be first out of the block with XM would be truck drivers. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. You guys are sitting out there pushing buttons all night long.
Well, I've got two whole sets of AM on my AM radio bank here, and I go, when I'm east of the Rockies, I have a certain set of 50,000-watt boomers, and when I'm west, I have another set on AM2. And now hopefully I can just throw in the cassette and call it XM.
There you are. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Art.
And take care.
Good night.
Good night. All right. Coming up on the bottom of the hour. Yes. Brand new affiliate here in Pahrump, KNYE 95.1 FM. And we're proud of it.
No foolish dream to make me cry.
We're little, but we're proud.
I'm never frightened or worried.
This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
By the way, from the Kingdom of Nye, with respect to KNYE.com, it's just a little static page up there right now. Although it's kind of cool during the day, it will tell you exactly what's playing as each song comes up. Kind of a neat little feature of automation, I guess. Anyway, you might check back on that site from time to time, and we'll provide other nuggets of information. That's K-N-Y-E, K-N-Y-E.com. I've got a question for you that I think really would be a good one for all of you to try and answer, and that is, we obviously are closing in on Osama bin Laden.
Now, assuming that he doesn't commit sewer pipe, well, you know, when we get close, and we actually do get him, my question would be, what should we do with him? Had you thought about that at all? What should we do with him? If we get the guy and we take him alive, a question which I'm not sure I know the answer to, whether we ought to or not take him alive, that is. My vote, frankly, well, I don't want to influence things. If we get him alive, he's going to be a martyr. If we kill him, he's going to be a martyr. If we put him in jail, people will probably steal airplanes and threaten lives to get him back. I don't know, it's a conundrum to be sure. What do we do with Osama bin Laden if we get him? Any thoughts out there? All right, on my KNYE Pahrump line, here you are. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it. Been a big fan of yours for a long time. Been here about 5 years. I'm a Slim Jim. I live over in the South Side.
The South Side, all right.
Yeah, all right. And I used to listen to you over in Ridgecrest, China Lake, California area for a long time.
Oh, yes.
And by golly, it's great to have a station here. And my son has made a big fan out from me for you. He lives over in Maui and enjoys you over there, too.
So well, I take it you're receiving our new FM station on 95.1. Okay.
Yeah, I like your variety of music. I do like new age music. Have you ever given that a thought about playing?
Oh,
that?
We'll slip all kinds of things. You know, a radio station is like a birth, you know, and I might add after 6 years of hard labor. but, you know, we're going to kind of experiment around and see what everybody wants.
Okay, the great work there, and we'll keep listening to you on a regular basis then.
For rump forever.
You bet. Take care,
thank
brother.
Thank you, my friend. For rump forever. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for being so available, so many late night hours. I can't tell you how many times I've tuned into you, and you brought me right on through the dark hours. So
thank you.
I got a couple of questions for you on the bumper music. My son tells me it's Electric Light Orchestra that's playing a song. The guy starts very slowly, and it builds up, and he says something about flying.
You're not talking about Ride My Seesaw, are you?
Well, I don't know the name of it.
Okay.
And
I suspect that's what you're talking about. That's a Moody Blues, if that's what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm writing that down. So do you play any ELO stuff?
I love ELO. Of course we play ELO.
Well, he said that song is from ELO, but anyway.
Well, ELO and Moody Blues could be confused. They both have a kind of a similar eerie rock sound to them, so they could be confused.
Okay, well, I'll try looking on the Moody Blues. I got a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Bumper music. Scratch that off. I hear about this satellite radio being offered now.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be on that?
I am on it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, we're on XM. Sure.
Well,
as the truck driver mentioned, right now we the show is delayed, so they hear two-day-old shows or something, but, you know, that'll get corrected.
Well, that's what I want to hear. I'm a trucker, too, and...
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's murder trying to track you down.
Radio means a lot on the road, doesn't it?
Plenty, plenty, plenty.
You bet. Thank you very much. Oh, listen, radio has saved my butt on the road. You know, if you think you're going to fall asleep or get a little drowsy, radio will keep you awake, and music will only do it so long. You know, you tap the foot, and after a while, it gets rhythmic and hypnotic. And so talk radio with a different sort of a intellectual stimulation keeps you awake. On my KNYE Pahrump line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Brian calling from near Basin and Barney.
How you doing, Brian?
Excellent. And I am thrilled to have you on FM now.
Did you just discover it when I spoke of it?
Yes.
You did, and you tuned your radio in, and boom, there it was, huh?
Within seconds of you speaking it.
Loud and clear, I hope.
100%.
Good.
And I just want to say congratulations.
Well, let me ask you a very important Pahrump question.
Okay.
Are you in favor of or opposed to a second stoplight?
A second stoplight?
Yeah.
We already have two.
Do we have two?
Yeah.
Well, we only had one.
Well, we
where's
yeah,
the
we
other
got,
one?
Yeah, we got the one there by the Pahrump Nugget. The other one's up the street at Basin.
Oh, they have one at Basin now?
Yeah.
Are you in favor of or opposed to a third stoplight, sir? And the location I propose is 372.
372 and, what would that be?
Well, right there by, right at the corner as you would turn to go to the bowling alley.
Oh.
I am so sick of sitting in traffic. Yes, we now have traffic in Pahrump. Snowbirds are coming, and it's getting Pahrump Valley Boulevard in 372.
Yeah, Pahrump Valley Boulevard. Okay, yeah.
Are you in favor of opposed to that?
Well, I would have to say that I'm opposed to it. But I would understand if they do put one up.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate your call. I got to scoot, but I appreciate
your
call and your opinion. Thank you,
Art.
Right. Take care. These are the things that worry us in Pahrump. Do we or don't? Third light. I only thought we had one. Now we have two. Now we have maybe three. We need another one. On my Pahrump line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir. Where are you? Well, what part of town?
Above the Dome House on the north side.
Above the Dome House. See how we can identify things, folks? Above the Dome House. Oh, yeah, I know where you are.
Yeah.
That's for him. Good to have you.
Yeah, the first gentleman that called you complaining about his radio, I complained about mine, too. I don't know how many radios I've went through in this town to keep you on the air.
Trying to get reception, yes. We're in an awkward place because Pahrump is 65 miles from Las Vegas, and, of course, KWN is there, 50,000 watts, but it's just the right distance to get all of this fading. And we do get a lot of fading out here in Pahrump, so a clean FM signal is pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you get that email on Crystal? I asked you to play her every hour.
Every hour?
Her new song.
Well, we are going to put it into rotation shortly, so
yeah,
it's coming up.
And the stoplight, yes, I'm in favor of it.
Thank you.
When I go get my smokes, I have a heck of a time getting through there.
Oh, we got to have a stoplight there.
Oh, yeah. It's getting terrible there, especially like today.
Anyway, listen, I don't want to spend a lot of time on Pahrump's traffic problems such as they are. Have you seen any of these unidentified flying objects that have been reported around here, around us lately?
Yes, Art. I've seen so many things up here, it'd take the rest of the night for me to tell you all about it.
People don't understand the things we see out here, do they?
No, they don't. Just like the other night, I was looking towards your side of town, and we've seen some lights up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And they...
I'll tell you, what I've been getting reports of are orange lights, glowing orange lights.
Yeah.
You've seen those?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've seen... Well, where I'm at, I'm a mile up off of 160.
Okay.
Up on the fan a little bit, and I can see the whole town.
Right.
And up here, it's pretty dark, and you can see just about everything.
We live in a very strange area. Very intriguing, strange area. There's no question about it.
Yeah. We can look towards Area 51, and a lot of times I see things go up and separate and go back together, and
yep.
And I know they ain't flares.
No, I know
flares
they're not
don't
flares
act too. Like that.
You're dead right, sir. I know. Thank you very much.
Okay, Art.
You take care. 95.1 KNYE. Well. How about that? Yeah, this is a strange area. You have no idea how strange it is to live out here. This is very, very serious desert. I don't know if you can picture that. I'm talking cactus type serious desert that we live in. And there are strange things to be seen. Very strange. On my Pahrump line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Roger in Pahrump. How are you tonight?
I'm just spiffy, Roger. How are you?
Well, I wanted to tell you your signal's coming in loud and clear from your new transmitter.
Where are you located? What part of town?
Actually, right now I'm in the Albertsons parking lot.
Oh, you are? So you're
yeah.
You're mobile on a cell phone yet, huh?
Yes, I am.
All right.
One of the dreaded cell phones, but you're coming in crystal clear on my end.
Well, good. I take it this will remove a struggle of trying to listen to a long-distance signal.
Yes, it certainly will.
Well, another small step for Pahrump.
We've tried to pull 720 out of Vegas several times, and it's
I know it's
a rough haul over the hill.
You can actually hear them another 100 miles out, and they're clear as can be. It's just this strange 65-mile distance and the way AM propagates.
Well, and when you look at the geography at Mount Charleston, that area, it's no wonder that...
Well, that's right.
You know, we're pretty well isolated.
See, there's another thing people don't know. Even though we're in the Sirius Desert, folks, we have this mountain called Mount Charleston, and it looms over all of us here in Providence. It's 11,900 feet tall. It's like a, you know, mountain in the Rockies. It's a very serious mountain. This is a very unusual place. Have you seen any of these strange lights?
No strange lights. I've seen a couple of fairies in town. I was only kidding, of course.
All right, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, and take care. Even though we don't have the water for it. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, in response to your question about bin Laden, I think the United States is pushing these secret kangaroo court military tribunals because they want to shut up bin Laden for what he knows. They want to silence him because I was reading a paper by Professor Chusadowski of the University of Ottawa that draws on little publicized Senate and congressional investigations that show that the United States was colluding with bin Laden and al-Qaeda, not only during the 80s and the early 90s to overthrow a progressive government in Afghanistan, but all through the 90s right down to the present in Yugoslavia, where they were using him and al-Qaeda to finance and arm and train some of these separatist terrorist armies like the KLA in Kosovo and the Bosnian
Army. All right. Lots of political rhetoric there. Sir, my question for you is, if we get him, what do we do with him?
Find out exactly everything he knows, because I think the real ulterior motive behind this, I say...
I'm all in favor of that. One fingernail at a time.
No, I'm saying that they want to shut him up. They want to silence him.
I see. And you want him to have a podium.
I want to find out the collusion of the United States right down to the present with al-Qaeda in Yugoslavia and overthrowing that government and financing terrorist armies over there as well.
Okay, thank you very much, and take care. On my Pahrump line, KMYE, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Congratulations on the station.
Oh, thank you.
I've been waiting for it for a long time, too.
So you are here in Pahrump?
Oh, yeah. I live down off of Haven Ranch.
Haven Ranch. All right. You hearing us okay over there?
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Good.
I've had my radio fixed to that station for the last 2 weeks, and every time I get in a car, I pop it on, and I've been waiting and waiting, and finally the other day, come on, and I celebrate.
Well, you probably heard us... testing.
Yep, a lot of testing.
Right, yeah.
In fact, Rush was on there the one morning. I think he carried his program.
We did for a while.
Yeah,
right?
Which was great. I enjoyed that, too.
Anyway, listen, how about you? Do you see any of the strange things, sir, that...
I got to tell you, I was going to send you an email last week, but I just forgot about it. Last week, I was out looking at the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Noticed three lights coming.
Yes.
Okay? So I ran in and got my binoculars. This is coming down north, and north to south. And there were three airplanes. But swept wing craft, okay, three of them, as they got closer, I could see them. They were up maybe a mile, maybe 5,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I did not hear any jet engine sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this. They get a little bit closer, and there's one other airplane, which was a motor-driven plane, piston, you know, like a prop, I guess it was, jet prop, you know. That one I could hear. The other three planes, I could not hear any jet sound at all. It was the strangest thing. I just, wow.
I would like to say it's really strange, but I've seen it now several times here.
Okay.
So, strange or unusual, but not too weird for this area. We do live in a strange area.
Yeah.
All right, sir. I appreciate the report.
Thanks a lot, Art.
Thank you very much, and take care. You see, now that's a survey of how many Perumpians, and about three-quarters of them so far have seen these lights that I'm talking about. A lot of recent bulletin news. Thank you very much.
Okay, Art.
You take care. 95.1 KNYE. Well, how about that? Yeah, this is a strange area. You have no idea how strange it is to live out here. This is very, very serious desert. I don't know if you can picture that. I'm talking cactus-type serious desert that we live in, and there are strange things to be seen. Very strange. On my Pahrump line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Roger in Pahrump. How are you tonight?
I'm just spiffy, Roger. How are you?
Well, I wanted to tell you your signal's coming in loud and clear from your new transmitter.
Where are you located? What part of town?
Actually, right now I'm in the Albertsons parking lot.
Oh, you are? So you're you're mobile on a cell phone yet, huh?
Yes, I am.
All right.
One of the dreaded cell phones, but you're coming in crystal clear on my end.
Well, good. I take it this will remove a struggle of trying to listen to a long-distance signal.
Yes, it certainly will.
Well, another small step for Perump.
We've tried to pull 720 out of Vegas several times, and it's
it's
a tough haul over the hill.
You can actually hear them another 100 miles out, and they're clear as can be. It's just this strange 65-mile distance and the way AM propagates.
Well, and when you look at the geography at Mount Charleston, that area, it's no wonder that...
Well, that's right.
You know, we're pretty well isolated.
See, there's another thing people don't know. Even though we're in the Sirius Desert, folks, we have this mountain called Mount Charleston. And it looms over all of us here in Trump. It's 11,900 feet tall. It's like a, you know, mountain in the Rockies. It's a very serious mountain. This is a very unusual place. Have you seen any of these strange lights?
No strange lights. I've seen a couple of fairies in town. I was only kidding, of course.
All right, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, and take care. Even though we don't have the water for it. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, in response to your question about bin Laden, I think the United States is pushing these secret kangaroo court military tribunals because they want to shut up bin Laden for what he knows. They want to silence him because I was reading a paper by Professor Chusadowski of the University of Ottawa that draws on little publicized Senate and congressional investigations that show that the United States was colluding with bin Laden and al-Qaeda, not only during the 80s and the early 90s to overthrow a progressive government in Afghanistan, but all through the 90s right down to the present in Yugoslavia, where they were using him and al-Qaeda to finance and arm and train some of these separatist terrorist armies like the KLA in Kosovo and the Bosnian
army. All right. Lots of political rhetoric there. Sir, my question for you is, if we get him, what do we do with him?
Find out exactly everything he knows, because I think the real ulterior motive behind this, I say...
I'm all in favor of that. One fingernail at a time.
No, I'm saying that they want to shut him up. They want to silence him.
I see. And you want him to have a podium.
I want to find out the collusion of the United States right down to the present with al-Qaeda in Yugoslavia and overthrowing that government and financing terrorist armies over there as well.
Okay, thank you very much, and take care. On my Perump line, KMYE, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Congratulations on the station.
Oh, thank you.
I've been waiting for it for a long time, too.
So you are here in Perump?
Oh, yeah. I live down off of Haven Ranch.
Haven Ranch. All right. You hearing us okay over there?
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Good.
I've had my radio fixed to that station for the last 2 weeks, and every time I get in the car, I pop it on, and I've been waiting and waiting, and finally the other day, come on, and I celebrate.
Well, you probably heard us... testing.
Yep, a lot of testing.
Right, yeah.
In fact, Rush was on there the one morning. I think he had carried his program.
We did for a while.
Yeah,
right?
Which was great. I enjoyed that, too.
Anyway, listen, how about you? Do you see any of the strange things, sir, that...
I got to tell you, I was going to send you an email last week, but I just forgot about it. Last week, I was out looking at the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Noticed three lights coming.
Yes.
Okay? So I ran in and got my binoculars. This is coming down north, and north to south, and there were three airplanes. But swept wing craft, okay, three of them, as they got closer, I could see them. They were up maybe a mile, maybe 5,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I did not hear any jet engine sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this. They get a little bit closer, and there's one other airplane, which was a motor-driven plane, piston, you know, like a prop, I guess it was, jet prop, you know. That one I could hear. The other three planes, I could not hear any jet sound at all. It was the strangest thing. I just, wow.
I would like to say it's really strange, but I've seen it now several times here.
Okay.
So, strange or unusual, but not too weird for this area. We do live in a strange area.
Right? Yeah.
All right, sir. I appreciate the report.
Thanks a lot, Art.
Thank you very much, and take care. You see, now that's a survey of how many Perumpians, and about three-quarters of them so far have seen these lights that I'm talking about. A lot of recent bulletin-type news about what's going on in this area. It is strange. On the Perump line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. I'm sure glad you got that FM station. Wasn't the K-Don was very terrible.
Well, it's a wonderful station. K-Don is a wonderful station, sir. It's just that they're troubled signal-wise out here because of the distance. Anyway.
I'm a radio hand, so I know all about that property.
So you're hearing 95.1 okay?
Oh, coming in great. Yeah, I'm right across Red Rock Drive from your tower.
Oh, well, then you should hear on your fillings.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's blowing the radio off the tabletop right now.
All right. Now, how about you, since I'm doing a sort of informal survey, talking to Perumpians, have you seen any of these strange lights?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like other people are saying, there don't seem to be any noise to it. And sometimes take off at strange angles.
Strange angles, and mostly no noise. I had a triangular one come over me. Very close to where I live, just 150 feet above me, it was gigantic, sir. Moon went away, stars went away, and it didn't even make a whisper. You could hear crickets 3/4 of a mile away as it floated over me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's strange. Yeah, like I say, it's a strange place out here, but I like the desert. Much better than living in the damp sea coast where I used to live.
Well, some of the engineers who came to help with KNYE came from the East Coast, and when they first got here, they said, oh, God, it's so open, it's so open, I don't know if I like this. And by the time they left, a couple of weeks later, they were saying, I kind of like this. The air feels nice and dry, and it's open here, and I'm kind of liking the openness now. And I said, just wait till you go back home. Get off the plane, and the humidity hits you in the face like a brick. And then you look, and you can't see past all the trees. It'll feel different.
Yeah, actually, I talked to you in the air a couple of times on 2 meters around here.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, you were doing some desense testing, and I helped.
Oh, I remember. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
You have a good night. Yes, strange place. But it's an intriguing thing to live in a place as strange as this. On a final time, I think, final call we can take on my Perump line, KNYE, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, it's Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Made it through.
Here is Paul, the air internet guy. He provides our internet service for us. Glad to have you, Paul.
Thank you. Good to be here. Everything's holding up just wonderfully.
Good. We gave out, he's hosting the website, KNYE.com. We gave that out and worried a little about the amount of hits we'd take.
We survived.
We survived. All right, good.
That's often kudos to Keith for surviving all the other stuff.
Oh, yes.
So, you're asking about weird lights over the valley.
Yes, sir.
We have seen in the past aircraft that resemble the F-117 that appear to change color as they pass under clouds and sky.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Yes. Oh, yes. Some kind of cloaking.
That or electroluminescent panels or something. But I just thought I'd throw that out there for the listeners to hear about.
No, that's also up there. In other words, as they pass, for example, behind a cloud or in front of a cloud, they will begin to look like the cloud. As they pass into blue sky, they begin to look blue.
Exactly.
Chameleon aircraft.
I love the desert.
I have not heard, Paul, of any official announcement of these chameleon craft, have you?
No. I've heard of unofficial announcement of like, oh, they finally got it working, but that's as far as it went. But anyway, I just want to call and congratulate you on K995.1.
Thank you.
Sounding wonderfully throughout the sprawling metropolis of Perump.
All right.
Take care.
Take care, Paul, and thank you.
Night.
Good night. All right, coming up, Sean David Morton, you've been waiting for him, up next.
Have to stop. You know.
is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
With more hits than a mafia don, he is Sean David Morton. Coming up shortly. Sean's a pretty interesting guy. Since studying at the British International School in Cairo, Egypt, then at Stanford, and graduating from USC with majors in political science and fine arts, Sean David Morton has been an investigative journalist and writer, director, producer for TV and films. He is a renowned futurist, intuitive, and earth-sensitive, with many of his stunning and startling predictions made on this show since he first appeared with me 10 years ago in 91. That long, huh? Sean was instrumental in bringing Area 51 to international attention and was one of the original writer, producer, investigators for Strange Universe, where he did the first national stories on the Chupacabra, the Chupacabra, and the UFO contactee Adrian. Remember him? He's written, produced, and consulted for Sightings, Now It Can Be Told, Hard Copy, Unsolved Mysteries. While at Hard Copy, he produced the first national news segments on the Phoenix Lights and the conspiracy theories behind the death of Lady Diana Spencer. Also wrote the first national articles on the cover-ups behind the deaths of Diana and JFK Jr. Sean studied with the Dalai Lama in India, has lived as a monk in Nepal, where he studied with the Black Hat Buddhist sect. It was there he learned meditative techniques that enhanced his own abilities, allowed him to get in tune with the earth, induce visions, read maps, predict geologic events, and taught him to travel the time stream. While in college, he also trained in remote viewing, is currently teaching his spiritual remote viewing techniques in seminars about the country. His track record of predicting earth changes, catastrophes, economic trends, stock market, and political events have been nothing short of astounding, bringing him international recognition. As a way to bring his visions to the world, in 1993, Sean started the Prophecy Research Institute and has been publisher and editor of the international monthly magazine, the Delphi Associates Newsletter, available by private subscription only. It is the nation's foremost publication of prophecy, prediction, and cutting-edge news. The Delphi Associates Newsletter boast is tomorrow's headlines today. Sean currently has just finished shooting two episodes of brand new TV series, a brand new one airing January 6th, 2002 on TNN called Conspiracy Zone, hosted by Saturday Night Live's Kevin Nealon. So, lots to talk about with Sean. With his accuracy and predictions, I think you're going to want to sit up and pay attention, because that's what's coming. Now, from the southern part of California, here is Sean David Morton. Sean, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Art. You're in rare form again tonight, as usual.
Thank you.
Very good.
And you sound pretty rare yourself.
Yeah, stick a fork in me.
All right. I don't even know where to begin tonight.
So much going on, isn't there?
Yeah. I guess let's begin with what's on everybody's mind, this war. Do you have any predictions for us about where the war is going? It looks like we're winning the war. It seems like we're winning the war.
Right.
Are we?
Well, as we talked about this last September. I think it was on the September 28th program.
Right.
Where a couple of interesting things are all sort of falling into place. First off, and can you hear me okay? Do I sound all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I was actually pulling some maps out the other day, and this was for, I think, the presentation in New York. And I pulled out an old map that I hadn't actually looked at for about 3 or 4 years, just pulling out of the corner.
Hey, Sean?
Yes?
Wait a minute. Just before you do this, I'm an audio nut.
Okay.
Let's compare. Now, you're using a headset right now. It's
right.
Better than most I've heard.
Okay.
But let's have you switch to the phone.
Right.
I want to see which I like better.
Okay. How's this? About the same?
Is the other one hung up?
Yes. I just unplugged it, that's all.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. Go back to your headset. I'm impressed.
I gotta plug it back in here. I spent a lot of money on getting a brand new headset so that I could do this and write and work the maps at the same time. Hold on.
Okay. No, pretty interesting. This headset actually works.
There we go. How's that?
It's excellent.
Okay. There we are.
Boy, that's a keeper.
Yeah. It's got the foam. you know, clown nose on the end of it. It's got the
clown nose.
It's got, what do they call it? Prophylactic whatever thing on the end.
I've got one here. I never thought of it as a clown nose. And anyway, more important things, the war. We did talk about it, and we talked about winning the war.
Right.
And so, yeah, I want your assessment now.
So I was pulling this map out, and I saw that I'd written actually on the top of the map, I was talking about the war cycles that the United States was going through. And that's specifically war cycles and peace cycles and economic cycles directly related to the stock market and to the economy all seem to go in these 7-year cycles of expansion and contraction.
Right.
And of course, what we've just gone through is you've just seen a 7-year peace cycle where we've seen a massive expansion of the economy and the stock market. And there was written on the board September 14th, 1993, to September 14th of 2000. It was going to be the 7-year peace cycle. And then from September 14th, actually 2000 on, to 2007, late September of 2007, was going to be the war cycle that the United States was then entering into.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that at that time that I was looking specifically at September, because it's interesting if you look at how nations unravel, it very much goes by the Jewish calendar, strangely enough, the Hebrew moon calendar, which has to do with new moons and full moons and the patterns of how things occur. So it always seems as the fiscal year is the 1st of October, begins the next year, that everything seems to happen then in the fall, leading economically and politically onwards from that. So with our entering this 7-year war cycle now, the Afghan war, I see with the culmination of the capture, and either we blow him up, or I spoke specifically on the last program about military tribunals, which there's a lot of stuff going on in the news now about that in relation to George Bush, his presidency, and what's happening. But the whole thing with Afghanistan, anyway, with what I believe is going to be the capture of Osama bin Laden, and then a trial by a military tribunal, and then his execution, or he just gets blown up. It may actually be too inconvenient to bring him to trial, but it's 8 months. It's going to be from...
Well, those are, indeed are the choices, but as a psychic, what do you see happening, or have you not done any sort of reading?
I see a brief trial. I mean, my intuition told me that this was going to last 8 months in Afghanistan, and we talked about this in September as well, that that's not going to be the end. I said then that the whole plan of the war was to be able, that we were going to go after Afghanistan first.
God, how could we have a brief trial, Sean? If we get this guy, oh my God, it's going to be a zoo. If it's a trial is going to be a zoo.
Well, that's why they're passing the military tribunal laws now. I mean, this links directly to, one of my predictions about George Bush was talked about martial law, talked about aspects of martial law underneath the Bush administration. And of course, we're seeing, you know, a lot of that in the airports. We're seeing the National Guard being brought in.
I don't know if I'd call what they've got in the airports martial law exactly.
Well,
now, I suppose to some degree, the Fourth Amendment is circumvented, you know, in some of the searches, but nobody's bitching about it. I mean,
well, let me finish the point. The point was that the martial law that I'm seeing, if they pass the military tribunal acts that the Bush administration is requesting, I can't see a lot of the stuff is specifically in what's in the Patriot Act and specifically what is his call for military tribunals. Because remember, what they want to do is they want to try supposedly foreign spies and terrorists within the United States without the declaration of war, without it being against a specific nationality. I mean, FDR tried 9 Nazi spies in the 1940s in the FBI building under a military tribunal in a time of war, but they were German citizens in a country that the Congress had legally and constitutionally declared war against. What the Bush administration is talking about is that they've now rounded up well over about 1,400 individuals for either questioning or people they felt were connected to the bombings, and they're talking about military tribunals in this country.
The majority of whom have been released, by the way.
Yes, they have, but they're still talking about trying to pass the Military Tribunal Act, which would be a definite suspension of the Constitution and an imposition legally of a form of martial law. The bottom line is, whether or not somebody's a citizen or not inside this country, you have two choices. You either try them in the courts under the Constitution or you kick them out of the country. As far as bin Laden goes, if we're chasing somebody in a foreign country and the military catches them, the military does now have the right to shoot anybody on sight as part of this particular military action, or the idea being catching him and actually processing through a military tribunal, which is, of course, different because then...
You know, you've got to wonder, Sean, what the orders are. In other words, to the special operations troops that are there and may encounter him, do you think the orders are to shoot that sucker dead or to bring him back alive?
Well, the dead would certainly be easier because if we bring him back alive, then, you know, first off, you've got a guy in the docket who becomes a martyr to every other whack job in the world that this guy is in communication with.
Right.
You know, and then there's the idea that it's his network that's behind it, but maybe not him personally. I mean, I've never heard him actually come out and say he was responsible for behind the New York attacks. He runs a terrorist college, if you will. You go and he trains you and writes you a check and says, you know, here, you know, go kill the infidel with the blessing of Allah. So, you know, exactly what the Afghans and the Pakistanis were acting, specifically the Afghans, were saying, well, if you have proof, show us the proof and we'll hand it over. And the Bush administration's response was, we're not going to negotiate with you at all. We simply demand that you hand him over. The idea here being is that if they institute the military tribunals for citizens within the United States or illegal aliens even within the United States,
then that prediction will be technically fulfilled.
That's a martial law prediction.
Yeah,
I can't see. There's stuff in the Patriot Act, as I said. If they do that and it comes before the Supreme Court will vote. They'll vote it down 9-0.
All right. Speaking of New York, you made on your website, and I made reference to it and sent a lot of people over there. I didn't say what it was because I thought it was a little scary. But you made a prediction about a possibility of an attack during the World Series. Now,
right.
Occasionally, I guess you miss them. Not very often, but nothing did happen untoward during the World Series. What say you?
Well, let me put this in the perspective of how it actually occurred. I was teaching a class in New York on the 15th of October, which was an all-day class on that Monday. And the prediction actually came from the remote viewing that we're actually doing from the class. What I do is that when I teach my spiritual remote viewing classes is that we try to, in the beginning, go through a series of purifications and meditations and visualizations to be able to create the space in the mind in which people can then bring in visions. But my whole point behind doing this is to show that everybody has this power and this ability, and it's just a question of you teaching it who's boss. So what happened in the aspect of this is that I gave the class three targets. The first target they hit directly on the head. It was a picture of my white fluffy cat Shalu, who was actually standing on on the rail of a lifeguard tower, sitting on the beach, and that was the target that was in the sealed envelope. He's looking very angry.
Well,
that's
a pretty unlikely target. Your cat sitting on a lifeguard. A stand on the beach.
Right, that's an unlikely target. But the class, not only did the class hit it successfully, but even one woman in the class popped and said, it's a white fluffy cat on the beach.
Oh,
That's how specific they got.
That's impossible.
With this target. And, of course,
by
it's something that the amazing Randy would pay you millions for. But
and should. By the way, why have you not taken the amazing Randy up on his offer, $1 million?
Well, because he always changes his... I mean, nobody's ever going to collect that $1 million.
Moving the goalposts.
Yeah, he moves the goalposts. He moves the line. He changes the experiment. He has total control over whatever's in whatever safe he is. It's impossible.
Would you like to challenge him? I mean, I give you that opportunity right now. The word will get back to Randy. You want to challenge him?
That would be all I would need.
Come on, challenge him. Everybody else has. He doesn't ever respond anyway. So.
All right. Well, sure. I'll take him on. I'm good enough at this that I would say that.
You won his million.
Yeah. I mean, he'll never get it, and he'll put you through a bunch of hoops. But as I said, he keeps changing the experiment. But,
I know.
The idea behind this is to see whatever he has in his safe. And
I'd be glad to moderate once again.
Okay.
I make that offer.
I'll take him up on it.
Okay.
What remote viewing is, remember, is that you're trying to combine I guess what we call intuitive ability. I'm completely shying away from the word psychic. I don't use psychic anymore. There's too many people out there that I think have given it a bad name. So everybody that I deal with in my Delphi Associates, I call intuitive consultants.
Intuitive consultant. That's pretty good. All right, so New York now.
Okay, so I'm teaching the class. The first target is my white fluffy cat Shalu on a lifeguard stand, and the whole class pops. They get a beach, they get the sand, they get the wall in Hermosa Beach, they see houses, they see the clouds. Not only do they successfully hit the target, But one, actually two people, then say, well, I see what look like candy canes in the distance. And, of course, if you're standing in front of the lifeguard stand in front of my house, and you look up the beach to El Segundo, there are two huge red and white smokestacks that look like big candy canes at the gas power station up there. So the first target they hit. The second target is a painting of the Titanic that's actually in a sealed envelope. I put, you know, 785 Delta. I put a coordinate on it. I say, you're going to be shown this in approximately half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Put it up on the board. They crack again, and I get they get panic, they get fear, they get drowning. They see the ground moving under their feet. They get seasick. They see what looks like fireworks exploding. They see a ship breaking in half. I mean, they pop once again. And everybody in the class, we're talking about a class of about, I would say about 60 people or so.
Wow.
Everybody gets this, and everybody's saying, you know, drawing smokestacks, and all. Everybody's getting different aspects.
So
of
how can they nail these and screw up on the Earth?
Well, okay, well, let me give you the last one. The last one is that, and I told them before the class, I said, you know, for no front-loading whatsoever. We're not going to do terrorism. We're not going to do the World Trade Center. We're not going to do any of that stuff here. We're going to try to focus on something else. So I write a question that says, describe the next terrorist action on New York. I specifically word, I think, on New York City. And then I said, describe dates and give details. So I put it in the envelope, stick it up there. The first thing they start to get is they get a... and the class was fairly divided on this. So what we were trying to do was trying to get a gestalt of this. But what they saw was they saw a sporting event, specifically a group of people. They then, several people then saw what they felt to be a baseball stadium, specifically Yankee Stadium. They then, four people in the class then said that they saw similar things and that they saw snakes, which I thought was very strange. That they saw, some people saw smaller snakes. One woman actually said she saw what looked like a giant rattlesnake, she said, in the center part of this of the stadium.
That's weird.
What they then got was, and of course I'm not a baseball fan at all. I'm more of like a college USC football fan, and I don't really know anything about baseball. The next thing they see is that they see helicopter activity around the stadium.
Right.
They see what appears to be an airplane of some sort, and they also see what looks like a haze or a smoke actually coming through the stadium. Now, these people were popping on Yankee Stadium. I then sit them down and I say, all right, don't want to front load you on this, and I'm going to ask you, look around. See if you can actually give me some specifics. So they look around and they say, well, we see people in costumes in the crowd. And I say, look in the sky. Is there anything else there that you can give you a time? And they then saw what looked like a rising full moon over the stadium itself.
Okay.
So in the course of this, I'm thinking, my God, you know, everything that they're talking about is, you know, seems to be related to this.
About 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, it seems to be related to this. The bottom line is that the World Series, as they predicted, it was the Arizona Diamondbacks, which was the snakes that they were talking about, versus the Yankees.
Yes.
In the stadium, under a full moon, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The date was changed from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so Bush could attend. There were rockets, actually, as they predicted, which were the fireworks beforehand. And then the plane they talked about was a gigantic B-52 bomber that they flew literally just a few hundred feet over the stadium, directly over the crowd.
Oh, they did do that, in fact. All right, listen, hold tight. Well, the punchline will have to come after the news. After the bottom of the hour.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long. For so long.
From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Listen to the strangest stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long.
Back into the night once again. Here is Sean David Morton. Sean, so we've got the B-52 over the stadium. Yes, I've seen that sort of thing at Super Bowl. I was there last year. They brought a B-2 over. It's really cool. So
I think it's gigantic. They call it an aluminum cloud because it's so huge.
That's right.
But here, the reason I posted it on the site is because the realization for me was that here it was the 15th of October. The Yankees had just come back from 0-2 in the semifinal series against the Oakland A's. And later on that night, actually, beat the Oakland A's. I believe it was actually in Oakland, which was why it was late in New York. And I'm standing in the hotel lobby at the New Yorker Hotel at the New Life Expo. And then I see that the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I had completely forgotten, I'm sorry to the people in Phoenix, but I'd totally forgotten that Arizona even had a baseball team. And I'm looking at the Arizona Diamondbacks, who just beat the Atlanta Braves, and suddenly it clicked in my mind that these were the snakes in the stadium that people were seeing.
Right.
So in the circumstance where, as I watched this thing unfold, if you would, on that day, if you bet $1,000 in Vegas that it was going to be the Yankees and the Arizona Diamondbacks in Yankee Stadium, underneath a full moon, on Halloween, you'd probably make 5-1 because it was. And remember, the World Series, because everything was put back, they were fully expecting the World Series to be played about the first week of November or so, because the series with the
That's
the Mariners was so short.
Right.
Because it was the Yankees beat them 4-1.
Okay, but without all the history here.
Okay, without all the history here, what finally happened is in the two incidences that they saw. The idea being is that they described everything leading up to these circumstances, with the exception of something exploding. They kept seeing this red ball of fire, a red rocket, either exploding above the crowd or in the crowd. And the circumstances that came down to it were George Bush came on the Tuesday, and they actually it was scheduled on the Major League Baseball schedule to be played, I believe, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they moved it up a day for the president to come. They increased the security around the stadium. They had F-16s flying, enforcing a no-fly zone. But here's where it gets a little spookier, because they had said, now, remember, we're trying to build a gestalt of a prediction. When you're actually directing a class and you're getting all this information in, you're trying to build a story around it, if you will. Because this links also directly into the American Airlines 587, which was all of the witnesses when that airliner crashed in New York off Rockaway. Everybody said that there was a red ball of fire in the center part of the this craft. So, interestingly enough, here I had the class hit the World Series, and some people have said, well, you know, maybe it was the fact that the Diamondbacks terrorized New York by beating them 15-0 or whatever. That's a stretch, I know.
Yeah.
But in the with the question to the class, when I finally showed them the coordinate, saying, you know, what you guys have hit here is something about a plane coming out of a sky that has what looks like a red fireball crashing into a group of people, and at the same time you're seeing what looks like a sporting event, and you're seeing, you know, all of these things going around the
sporting
event.
You don't think they were seeing 587, do you?
It's possible, because then on October 28th, I was teaching another remote viewing class in Pennsylvania. And one of the things that I thought was most interesting is if you look at your body, and the way the human body interacts with what I believe to be sort of the being of the United States. And if you actually look at what the American Indians called the Turtle Island, that you've actually got the head or the neck of the turtle, which is Maine, or the head being Maine and then coming down, with right about the neck of the turtle being about New York, the forepaws then being Florida, the midsection being Texas, and then the tail being California, and then going down into Baja California. One of the things that I was noticing among people was that I kept having this severe pinching pain right at the top of my trapezius, at the base of my neck, at the top of the shoulder. And I asked people in the class, is anybody else having this weird pain, right? I mean, it's almost cutting across the section of the neck. And most of the people in the class said yes, that they were having this similar pinching pain. And I commented in the class on the 28th, well, I said that something is going to happen in New York City or in the state of New York, because it relates in the human body directly to the that area of the body. And then, of course, American Airlines Flight 587 came along, which I do think, after doing a, you know, we could talk about this a little bit, after first doing a meditation and doing a viewing on that flight, and then checking out the astrology with people like Stacey Dean, who write articles for the Delphi Associates newsletter, I'm convinced that what's going on, and this is going to be the biggest security problem that I think you're going to see in the next few months here, is that plane was somehow sabotaged on the ground by somebody that had something to do with a maintenance staff, but it was sabotaged in Florida before it actually got to New York. And I am, after doing the viewing of this, what I saw is that the bolts on the tail were, and I didn't even know if this is possible, but something happened to the tail of the plane.
It fell off.
Where the bolts were loosened and then screwed back on.
It was the vertical stabilizer they lost it.
Right. Well, this was, because remember, that plane broke up in three sections. You had the tail land in the water, You then had the engine fall off the plane and land on a gas station.
Yeah, well, let me say this to you. Look, what they're saying is that it was wake turbulence. You know, that the 747 that was ahead of it shook it up. Man, that's going on every day. I don't think that I buy that as the reason that plane came down.
Well, here's all they have to do.
I could be wrong, but I just sort of don't buy it.
All they have to do, well, then your instincts are right. If it smells funny and it looks funny, it is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they don't want people to know that on the one hand, you have to be an American citizen now, and of course they're talking about now federalizing security employees, but they're not talking about anybody that has to do with actually maintaining these aircraft. You know, do they have to be an American citizen? Do they have to pass? What kind of security checks are they passing? And who has access to the planes actually on the ground? Because what I think happened is that there were things that were loosened in the craft, and of course all they would have to do as investigators is look at the tail fin of the ship and see if the actual bolts that literally hold the tail of the plane on are elongated from the tail actually beginning to shake and shimmy, which would look exactly like some sort of jet wash turbulence, with the tail then sort of popping off this plane. You know, then again, these are Airbuses, and they're primarily assembled.
First time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
In regards to the World Series prediction, the reason I posted it on the site, and this was a prediction, I was teaching a class, I didn't make the prediction. I asked the class in a coordinate, what did you see? And they described every single incident. And the one I saw, it was the Diamondbacks, the Yankees, and to my horror, they were actually playing on Halloween, and the president was going to be there. I posted it on the website thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. If
that's
I put it up on the website and it doesn't happen, then I would just as soon have the warning be out there and have everybody laugh at me and say, oh, you were wrong. But if it did happen and I said nothing and did nothing, you know, I would feel a certain responsibility. So I think it's one of those things where, thanks to you and a lot of other people, I get out there enough, you know, and the president coming as a big surprise. As I said, they're moving the games up by a day just so Bush could be there, and they massively increased security. Averted a catastrophe, which is what this is all about in the first place.
It is. I understand. All right, listen, on to something else very quickly. I played Riders on the Storm, and the words seemed just to fit Osama bin Laden, you know, the squirming brain and all the rest of it.
That's true.
Is Osama bin Laden the Antichrist? Some are saying so.
I have said in my newsletter since, well, years ago, that he's an Antichrist. You know, obviously as a Muslim, he's against the, not so much the Christian world, but the financial world of the West is what he sees as the Great Babylon. I mean, the reason all these Muslims have this Jones for the World Trade Center is because they view it as the ancient city of Babylon. They view the entire Western interest banking system, the whole sort of Western European interest banking system, as being the new Babylonian Empire, which is forbidden by the Bible, forbidden by the prophets, you know, forbidden over and over and over again, all the things about interest banking. And that's why they've hated the World Trade Center, why they went after it in 93, and why they didn't stop until they actually got it and knocked it down. Back in 1992, when I first put this manuscript together called The Millennium Factor, and I kept seeing this face. I mean, this guy's face, every time I went to the year 2000, 2001, I saw this guy's face everywhere. And I thought to myself, well, is this the Antichrist? I worked with a buddy of mine, Steve Hills, who just lives up the street, who actually worked as a police sketch artist. And he helped me draw this guy's face, which I printed in The Millennium Factor, and I put Wanted, the Antichrist, Dead or Alive, which is really weird because then every tabloid across the United States have bin Laden's face with Wanted, Dead or Alive on the covers of magazines. And about 2 years ago in 98, when I was running a whole magazine article on who is the Antichrist, and I actually put Osama bin Laden's face up next to this drawing, and it is the guy. And I pointed to him then and said, this is the character that is going to be responsible for blowing up buildings in the United States, for chemical biological warfare attacks, for shutting down the aeronautic infrastructure. Specifically, he was going to go after airplanes, he was going to go after New York City, and he was going to go after the financial district. So these were all my predictions about this guy when I first, when he first came on the scene, actually, and he really started going after everybody, and I think this whole spiral that we're in now began when Clinton blew up the, it was the same day that Monica Lewinsky gave her speech about what our fun-loving president did to her in her Kmart dress. when Clinton blew up that baby food factory in Afghanistan.
I recall, yes.
And it was so, and I actually was at a friend of mine's house when I had this vision, and my friend Julia, who's standing there saying, oh my God, and she saw it too. She saw, the two of us actually saw what looked like a huge blue man with these multiple arms that was holding, it was basically Shiva. It looked to me like the god Shiva. And was holding what looked like missiles and a trident and all these things. And he said, now is the beginning. Now the needles of Shiva are unleashed. And Julia's English. She's going, oh my God, I'm seeing this blue man in front of me. And it was the night before the attack on the Afghanistan, supposedly chemical weapons factory. And a number of things happened. Number one, this is when Osama bin Laden said, we're going to get the United States. I want volunteers for the Al-Qaeda network. And it really started to bloom then. And he got 100,000 Afghanis to then join the Al-Qaeda network to, you know, start training to go after the great Satan. The second one is that two cruise missiles were used. One of them hit the factory. The other one went off course, if you'll remember, and actually landed in Pakistan.
Yes.
And the Pakistanis were jumping up and down. I mean, they had this, you know, this cruise missile saying, this is truly a gift from Allah. Because now they had one of our most advanced missiles it's basically like Roswell. For them, it's like Roswell in 1947. Because UFO falls out of the sky.
It's a pretty interesting barrel.
and they tear the thing apart. Oh, look, lasers. Ooh, Kevlar. Ooh, integrated circuits. Oh, my God.
Yes.
So with our cruise missile, you know, they've already got nuclear weapons. And the one thing that nobody in the Middle East has is any rocket that can go with any accuracy. A Scud launcher is... You know, you might as well be using a fat lady's bra and a couple of rocks.
Does Osama bin Laden have nuclear weapons?
You know, according to every source, he's spent money developing them. He supposedly bought a warhead for $30 million. Things we know he has, for example. We know he's still got a cache of Stinger rockets and missiles. The CIA gave him and Sheikh Ramallah, who's the guy who tried to blow up the World Trade Center in 93. They gave them both caches of Stinger missiles to basically close down the Russian Air Force, which they
did.
That's
right, yes.
And he's got about 160 or so, as far as the ones we didn't get back, about 160 of these. And, of course, with five of those Stinger missiles and guys in, you know, open VW vans shooting at low-flying aircraft at five major centers, you go to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Atlanta, Dallas, maybe New York, and you take out jets all at once, you know, flying a few hundred feet off the ground, either taking off or landing from the flatbed of an open truck with a Stinger rocket. And, you know, once again, you'd close down the aeronautical infrastructure of the United States.
No question about it. Do you see it, if we kill Osama or otherwise incapacitate him, hopefully permanently, is it going to be an end to terrorism, or has all this really just begun?
It's all just begun. The situation in Afghanistan and bin Laden, I predict, will be over in approximately, from the September 11th date, will be over in approximately 8 months. So we're looking at that phase going down in March, April. But already, as we talked about on the September program, I said that this was going to be Afghanistan first, then we were going to go after Saddam. And already, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, everybody's talking about what a threat Saddam Hussein is.
I know.
And we're still looking at
that the beginning of a propaganda wash across the states to get us ready for an attack on Iraq?
It's revenge. It's, you know, it's GWB going after the guy that his daddy didn't beat. So yeah, they got to get Saddam now. And unfortunately, the problem is that once you take out Saddam, people don't realize that he is a moderate Ba'ath Sunni in a sea of these kind of crazy Shiites. And then, you know, and this whole feud goes back to like 600 A.D. when Muhammad dies, and you have Muhammad then says, I don't want to be worshipped, I don't want a mosque, I don't want anybody to worship me. And then you have this guy, Shia, who comes along, who says, no, I'm the prophet now, and I'm his replacement, and, you know, follow me. And he's the more radical aspect of Islam. Then you have this guy, Sun, who then says, if you are to worship Muhammad, you're worshiping a man who is dead in the ground. If you are to worship Allah, he's the true living God. And he was the more moderate voice in Islam, which became the Sunnis. Well, the Sunnis got together and they murdered the Shia guy. And the Shiites are, like, still pissed off. Like, 1,400 years later, the Shiites, to them, it happened, like, yesterday.
Sure.
So these are the two factions there. Saddam runs a country with a series of factions. We needed a bad guy in the Middle East to basically excuse our military being there to protect our oil in the Persian Gulf. So once you take out Saddam, you take out a lot of... He destabilizes the entire region, because if you take him out and the Shiites take over Iraq, they then consolidate with Iran. You then have Musharraf, who's in a very dangerous position. He's the leader, the military leader of Pakistan that MI6 and the CIA put in when the Pakistanis were jumping up and down threatening to use nuclear weapons against India. Because
mm-hmm.
my prediction back in 1994 was that the true beginning of the Third World Conflict would be when Pakistan uses troops and nuclear weapons against India. And this is 94. This is back when Pakistan had as much chance of developing nuclear weapons as monkeys type in Shakespeare.
All of this, by the way, has been documented, folks,
absolutely,
in Sean's newsletters. It's not like we're just making claims. It's all in black and white.
And it all seems, you know, I talk about it now, it seems like a Captain Obvious kind of prediction, but I've gone to such great lengths because I know every time a psychic, and I'll use that word now, a psychic, every time some disaster occurs, some psychic comes out of the woodwork and goes, oh, I predicted that.
I know.
And, you know, it's just, and unless I said it either on your program in front of 20 million people worldwide.
No, I admire that of you, and it's all in black and white and also chronicled on your website.
Right.
Not added later, but the original quotes with the dates of the publication and all the rest of it. I think that's very important.
That's what I try to do, and I some people rake me for that because I give exactly what I said. I don't sugarcoat it. I say, well, you know, I try to explain to people that whenever I do this, I ask for the grace of God and the grace of Creator, and I also ask for people to be patient and to be understanding, because this is certainly not an exact science.
Do you understand why a lot of people don't like psychics?
Yeah.
Do you? What would you think the number one reason would be? I'll tell you what.
Okay, all right, yeah, you give it to me.
I'm not going
to
give it to you. I want the answer from you. We're going to hold it here at the top of the hour, and I'm going to let you think about it, all right?
All right.
All right, good. You'll come up with an answer. Why don't people, the number one reason people don't like psychics?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak to them.
Once again, Sean David Morton. Sean, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's quickly plug your newsletter, if we can.
Oh, thank you.
Give everybody the info.
Okay, we've got we're running a special. Every time I come on, I try to come up with something creative so that we can give everybody that hasn't gotten the newsletter. The Delphi Associates newsletter, we publish it once a month, approximately 12 times a year at 16 pages, full color, very nicely done. As a matter of fact, the same folks that print your wonderful newsletter magazine also print mine as well. So here's the deal we have for them. It's $60 for a regular 12-issue subscription. If you want first class, also UPS, which comes in an envelope in first class, it's an extra $12. A lot of people want it a lot quicker. We have a senior rate of $45. And if you want to subscribe for 2 years, we actually have a 2-year subscription rate now as a special for between now and Christmas for $99 for a 2-year subscription.
Okay.
Everybody that signs up tonight, we will actually give, for your first year, we'll give you 13 issues for the $60, and we will include free in an envelope, first class, our double issue called the Vajra Chronicles, which was our October 75th double issue, which we published last month. And it gives a whole layout of prophecies and predictions and everything for the future. I've made everything really easy. It's just one number that people call. It's 888-452-7999.
One more time.
888-452-7999. 7999. So it's 888-452-7999.
All right, is that available now?
Right now. It's 24 hours. We've got a big national data bank. There's extra people on now.
Okay.
Like I said, it's $99 for 2 years, $60 for a regular subscription, and $45 for a senior discount rate. And it's the Prophecy Research Institute is a 501c3 religious educational organization, so all donations are tax deductible. So you get the newsletter, it's tax deductible, and for this particular special, we'll send you 13 issues, and we'll send you out issue 75, the latest newsletter, right away, first class in an envelope, so you get 13 issues for your first year.
All right. Now, with regard again to the war.
Okay. And we were talking, let me just finish one thing. I'll get back to the war. About Osama bin Laden being the Antichrist, the one last thing that I wanted to add there was Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden are the wind-ups for what you're going to see happen in the Middle East, because I think that you're probably going to see Osama taken out relatively quickly, probably by the spring. The whole terrorist conflict is going to go on for, I mean, we're talking Iraq, we're talking... It's going to be literally about another 3 years before anybody feels really safe because of various attacks that are going on, not only to the United States, but also France, England, Paris and London specifically for attacks coming up in the spring. The whole gist of this is that there is an individual who comes out of Iran, and this is one of the linchpins of the whole Nostradamian vista, if you will, of his visions of the future, where he saw three specific Antichrist figures. The first one would be Napoleon Bonaparte, which Nostradamus stunningly, hundreds of years before he's even born, actually gives his exact name. He spells Bonaparte's name wrong, but if you actually go to Bonaparte's grave, it's actually spelled incorrectly on his grave, the same way that Nostradamus spells it.
Okay.
He then describes Adolf Hitler with the famous quatrain about calling him Histor, H-I-S-T-R. Some people think he got the name wrong, but...
And the third is coming from Iraq.
Third comes from Iran. It comes from... He calls him the man in the blue turban, the Persian prince, the king of the Anj Mogolay, which some people have actually interpreted as king of the Mongols, which would be maybe the Chinese, or king of the Mughals.
Is he going to be the replacement for Osama bin Laden?
He'll be... Remember that Iran right now used to have the Ayatollah Khomeini, who was the one who sort of brought back the whole radical Shiite movement and enforced it in the Middle East. Now that Khomeini, who died about 3 years ago, all there is now is sort of a motley kind of ruling council. There's no one particular individual in Iran. The coming of this individual comes when whoever this person is manages to then unite the old Persian Empire, which would be Iran and Iraq, which used to be part of Persia, with quite possibly Pakistan. I was talking about Musharraf getting overthrown. You know, next prediction next year is him getting overthrown by the fundamentalists, which would then give them access to the nuclear technology again. And some very heavy-duty things happening in Egypt as well. And the idea is that the Kaaba Stone, which is the huge black monolithic box in Mecca, actually has the actual stone that everybody worships. The Kaaba stone itself is actually in the side of that building. But if you go inside that huge black structure, there's actually a spiral staircase that leads up to the top of the structure by which the great Imam, the Messiah of the Muslims, if you will at some point in the future then present himself to the masses. And once this person does this, he then links all of these various Islamic countries for one last great conflict with Islam. There's another war after that coming, because my timeline actually has the seven-year war cycle from 2000 to 2007, which then leads up to bin Laden with Saddam, and then bin Laden and whoever this next guy is. Actually, my remote viewing of him and my spiritual I guess I'll use psychic again, visits to the future actually describe him as a character named Jamal, which actually means the beautiful one in Arabic, which is kind of a joke because he causes so much terror on the world scene. Once again, Nostradamus doesn't really give us a name. Unless he comes out and we find it in hindsight in the Nostradamus quatrains, as something that's real obvious, like Histor or Bonaparte or something. But he looks very much as a cabal of individuals.
How soon will we see him emerge?
2003 seems to be the linchpin, because in my research and my visions of this, the real heavy-duty war in the Middle East comes when Israel and Syria go toe-to-toe with each other, with what I believe to be an atomic attack on Israel, on Jerusalem, with Jerusalem being destroyed sometime around late 2006.
But October. that could be Armageddon, though.
That's absolutely true. But it is the invaders from the north. It is that's the biblical prophecy that has to do with the building of the third temple of Solomon and the destruction of the Dome of the Rock.
Right.
That plays into a great deal of the Islamic aspect. And remember, at the same time, not only would Syria then have nuclear weapons, but you have Pakistan, which I also think Pakistan attacks India with nuclear weapons and troops, which is... But it blows up to around, there's this big hole that humanity just kind of falls in around 2005, and everything is gearing up towards a great deal of catastrophe between a cleansing, if you will, between 2003 and 2005. You know, there's so many people that say it's the end of the world and all this, and you know, the world's not going anywhere. We've gone through political and social upheavals like this with World War One and World War Two. This is unfortunately, it's fought on a much deadlier scale with more people dying. In regards to what the timeline that I see happening occurs, but you know, because we're in what I believe is like a 40-year exodus period that lasts from February of 1999 all the way up to the return of some grand messianic figure sometime around 2040 or so.
It's apparently going to be the end of a lot of personal worlds.
But on the one hand, you know, the thing is that there's an ascension and a descension that goes on at the same time, Art. There are huge advancements in technology, amazing advancements in communications technology. A lot of these advancements in communications technologies actually play themselves up and become more popular because of a series of great diseases that start sweeping the world around 2004 or so, and whether or not they are a direct result of...
I was going to ask, where do these diseases emerge from? Are they from a lab somewhere, or are they a natural environmental plague?
Gosh, well... What I see is it's some kind of flu virus. It's a repeat of the Spanish influenza epidemic that killed about 25 million people between 1918 and 1922. So it's some sort of flu virus. At the same time, not only you've got a number of things as far as the disease front goes, you've got a number of things that are all coming together at once. Number one, you've got the AIDS plague is going to come to full fruition in about 4 years or so in Africa, which means that you're looking at... My predictions originally back in 94 was that I saw 250 million people dead in Africa, and we've already got about 100 million people dead now. So the AIDS plague starts coming fully blown. The disease has taken whether or not these people were infected by the World Health Organization through polio vaccinations, whether it was on purpose or what have you, that comes to the fore. Next, you have a series of, I think, genetically engineered flu viruses, which look a lot like the Spanish flu. At the same time, and this is one of the effects that I don't think that anybody's really talking about. I think William Thomas spoke about it a little bit. But in regards to this chemtrail stuff that they're spraying in the atmosphere,
yes,
people don't seem to realize that there is bacteria in the upper part of the atmosphere that just doesn't get down to the surface on a real regular basis that is being latched onto by whatever this aluminum sulfide is, whatever this crap is that they're spraying in the atmosphere as some sort of... I'm sure they think that it's some kind of big global...
Do you know what it is? I've asked various remote viewers. Specifically, I asked Ed Dames about this, and right. It's the only thing that Ed will not talk about. And so he obviously knows something, but he really... I mean, I've pushed him right to the wall, and he will not talk about it.
Everything that I can say... The reason it's difficult to actually view the chemtrails is that because every time... They get a sample of the stuff or they test it. There's different stuff in here. The global, and remember, it's not just the United States. It's the United States. It's Canada. It's most of Europe. I mean, I was in Vienna visiting my uncle in 99 to go see the eclipse in Salzburg. And, my God, we're out with the family, and, you know, there's big X's and O's, and, you know, so they're spraying it all over Europe as well. The first thing it is, it's definitely some sort of form of aluminum or aluminum sulfides that are being sprayed in the upper atmosphere to maybe reflect sunlight to create a you know, large haze.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So that it reflects sunlight so that we can continue to use petroleum products for, you know, another 20 years or so. They should be converting to hydrogen. They should be converting to fuel cells, you know, all the various things. And it's not cars, by the way. It's mostly air travel. It's mostly jetliners.
So that would be an attempt to lessen the effects of global warming.
Lessen the effects of global warming, basically reflect sunlight back into the atmosphere, and at the same time allow us to extend the petroleum economy for maybe another 20 years. we know that aluminum sulfides cause, when they're in detergents and deodorants, cause Alzheimer's disease. We also know that concentrations of this stuff that have been sprayed in towns in Canada cause short-term memory loss on a massive scale. I mean, whole towns of people walk outside and, you know, can't remember where they parked their car in the morning, and it's a, you know, it's a big joke up there. But there's a, you know, the mother of all lawsuits is waiting to spring here. The other thing is that this is some kind of vaporized anthrax vaccine, that they knew that these attacks were coming.
I've thought of that as well. Yes,
and some of the microscopic analysis of this shows dried red blood cells in the substances, and this is some kind of vaporized form of vaccine.
Well, you know, we're beginning to have inhalation anthrax cases that are completely off the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, a lady in her mid-90s in rural Connecticut.
Yeah, well,
give me a break.
Lundgren, I think,
yes.
Or Attila Lundgren.
Poor lady, yes. And others, you know, who have had no contact. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, there's also there's a communications aspect to it as well, because they actually link the chemtrails in with the HAARP project. So they actually spray these aluminum sulfides, connect them together, and you can actually transmit certain types of communication signals through these clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And the chemtrails take on kind of an interesting, like an ocean bottom ripple effect.
Okay, anyway, bottom line with the chemtrails, you're certain of one thing, and that is they are not contrails somehow mistaken for something else.
This is a multi-billion-dollar global campaign, not just by the military, but by groups of individuals all across the planet, which is doing some sort of ecological change, either a weather change or an ecological change. And the side effects of this are that it is making people deathly ill, that people have, that all across the country, they're hacking with sore throats, with strep throats.
Sneezing.
It's getting into
the... Let me tell you something, though. On the side of those who might be doing this, assuming that their motives are good motives, with vaccines, Sean, I forget what the count is, but if you vaccinate, you know, a million people for almost anything, 2 or 10 or 100 are going to have nasty side effects, or some are even going to die.
Or die, yeah.
But on balance, they consider it to be still a better thing to do than not.
An acceptable loss.
It's hard to talk about that, but yes.
The only other thing I can think of also is that one of the things the HAARP project is used for is to harden layers in the upper atmosphere, that there's a series of these antenna farms all across the planet. And they know that the sun is going through this bizarre 1,500-year cycle where...
Would you like to speak a bit about that? I mean, our sun is going totally crackers right now, and I'm convinced that almost every aspect of our life is affected by it.
Absolutely. It's triggering. You want to know what's going on with the whole... why people are frightened, why the stock market is doing what it's doing, why the magnetic fields of the planet are freaking out. It all directly relates back to the sun. And I've said this over and over and over again, that... when the sun, and it's actually, because it's funny, because I link it to the stock market, because the stock market runs on greed and fear. And the limbic system of the brain, which is sort of that little tiny, reptilian, the lawyer part of the brain, that little snaky, gooey, you know, do anything for, you know, money, slimy, kind of shyster part of the brain way down there. Runs on three things. It runs on the fight, flight, or what I call fight, flight, or fun. Is that, can I fight something and either kill it and eat it? Can I run away from something, or can I have sex with it? So, I mean, those are the only three parts of the brain that
On that score, with relation to the stock market, I keep waiting for the skirts to get shorter. Is there something about that in the market?
Here you go. You can directly blame the economy. You want to know who blame the economy on? You know whose fault it is?
Whose?
The Baltimore Ravens.
All right, on that note, we'll talk more.
Well, you got to let me explain why it's the Baltimore Ravens.
After the break, Sean. After the break. is Coast to Coast AM, roaring through the nighttime from Pahrump, Nevada. I'm Art Bell. Sean?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on. Spit it out. The Baltimore
all right.
Ravens.
Here's why it's the Baltimore Ravens' fault. Most people all know this, that when the AFC wins the Super Bowl in January or February, wherever it's going to be now, that the economy pretty much stinks for the whole rest of the year. And there's, I think out of the 30, gosh, what number Super Bowl went on now? 37 Super Bowl? No, it's not. Can't be that many. 30. I don't even know how many it is. I thought it was the 35 or something.
I should know.
But,
I wasn't on this one.
AFC wins the Super Bowl, you always have some sort of crash, and I think that's happened out of, with the exception of maybe 2 years, that when and when the NFC wins the Super Bowl, you have an upward trend. It's kind of an urban legend, but it's an old myth, especially when you have the Baltimore Ravens being an expansion team winning the Super Bowl. That's probably the worst of the worst scenario.
Well, you did predict a stock market crash for the fall, and I guess you didn't think the crash would be quite as literal as it has been. My God, it's been awful.
Really? Well, it was. The market didn't go down. I mean, my original projection was I had three specific scenarios, and the scenario A, which was the most likely, was the market going down to 85.37. I think was what I said back in April. I think it was, and it was down. That's almost exactly where it was. The market didn't spike as high as I expected because I thought we would see the market in. The territory of, you know, high 11,000 to 12,000 or so over the summertime. And once again, relating us back to the solar cycles, whenever you have a huge burst of energy that comes from the sun, it triggers that reptilian fight or flight aspect in the brain,
right,
and causes people to sell stock because the whole market runs on basically greed and fear.
I believe that. Sure, it does.
When people are afraid, they sell, and you know, when they're greedy, they buy. So, but then you have what's supposed to happen is you then have a real quiescent period on the sun when everything is very, very calm and the sun behaves itself and people kind of crawl out of their hidey holes, so to speak, and then start buying stock and then the market spikes.
But isn't the sun's quiet period, if we get it, going to coincide with an awfully tumultuous period that you're also forecasting?
Well, it at the same time in the market, you've got the sun. I think the solar cycle that we're looking at now is going to calm down and I think it's going to happen by the spring. Now, remember, this cycle hasn't gone away. They talked about 11-year cycles and 22-year cycles, but the sun hasn't stopped going crazy for, gosh, what is it, like 3 years now, I think?
I know.
So if we see the sun going quiescent again, in one way or another, the markets are going to start to recover. What I'd said about the crash, and I told everybody to sell everything after Labor Day, which was just about right.
I recall.
And that we would have this, you know, this market, the beginning of this market collapse in the economy. But I also predicted...
You are confident you didn't cause it, right?
I am not... You know, I'm telling you, Art, this show, we say stuff on this show.
I know.
Days later, we see it all over the front page of the headlines.
I know.
It weirds me out. I don't know if we're actually enforcing the hologram or what it is we're doing, but anyway, the idea behind this is that I'd said that 2001 is going to be completely unstable. Numerologically, it's a 3 year, and in all 3 years numerologically, there have been crashes in the market, giant companies making ridiculous decisions. It's the number of the child. It's the one is the masculine, two is the feminine, the three represents the combination of the masculine and feminine, the child force, if you will. Whereas four, coming up 2002, is a building year. It goes from the triangle to the four squares, like the foundation of a pyramid. And so economically speaking, we're continuing to see this flat period where they're doing the research now, they're laying down the technology, and then in the spring of this next year, and I think this is all going to coincide with at least the ending of the first phase of what's going on with Afghanistan and Osama bin Laden and his death slash execution, with the release of some amazing things in the market, which also means, by the way, that the NFC will win the Super Bowl. So it's going to be Rams and Raiders.
All right, so this
the Rams
is,
will win.
What it boils down to is, by spring, this is the Morton buy signal, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I would say as late as... Let me see, I'll give you the exact date. I'll tell you exactly when everything's going to go.
All right. Oh, yes, please do.
We're looking at April. Here we go. April of 2000. I actually got it right here.
April of 2001.
2002. April 2002.
I'm sorry,
April 2002.
2002. Yeah.
There's some, you know, some heavy-duty stuff going on. There's once again, at the same time the market was crashing, I also saw interest rates going down to 2%, which is we've got now, and I saw unemployment going up to 6.5, which is on its way to doing. But at the same time, the market is climbing. I guess we can talk about this now. But between April and June of 2002 is going to be the steady rise in the markets. That's where it's going to really pick up and pick up stability. By December of next year, the confidence in the market will be very, very high. It'll be back up into the realm of high 11,000, 12,000 or so.
That's the Dow. How about the NASDAQ?
The NASDAQ is, this is the unique thing about the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is getting killed because the big money in the NASDAQ started to be made. It all has to do with Saturn. If you actually look at what Saturn does, Saturn has to do with big money. It's sort of the old grand man in the sky, institutions then putting their money into new technology and new ideas. Now, Saturn actually moves into Gemini, or actually into the third house in April to June of 2002. The thing that this means is that the NASDAQ is going to be shored up by a number of things, and this is where the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones and everything is going to go crazy.
New technology.
With new technology, right. And the biggest things are going to be, for example, when you're looking at Saturn, and when Saturn moves into Gemini, you actually have, now you have the old man and these institutions dealing with the sign of Gemini, and remember that Gemini has now transformed. There are two signs in the zodiac that have now transformed. The sign of Scorpio, which used to be the gray lizard, the scorpion, or the eagle, has now transformed into the phoenix. So it's actually in the new astrology, it's the phoenix. It's the phoenix rising from the ashes. And Scorpios are going to be the ones leading the way as far as the whole sex and death cycle of rebuilding things. Gemini is particularly unique because Gemini rules the lower mind, communications, popular communications, news, radio, television, and Gemini is no longer the twins, but the Stargate.
The lower mind, Sean?
Well, that's right, because we're talking about the left-hand side of the brain, which represents the masculine dominant, aggressive, analytical qualities of Gemini. In other words, measurement.
All right, I'm a Gemini. Be careful.
I know. That's what, I'm saying that you have the lower mind, which actually is the masculine side of the brain, and then you have the higher mind, which is the feminine side of the brain, the right side of the brain, which is sort of like the fat lady in the purple muumuu, you know, just running through a field. And that's where you try to tap in as far as psychic visions and what have you, because the right side of the brain thinks only in terms of feelings, emotions, and pictures, whereas the left side of the brain thinks in terms of facts, figures, numbers,
okay,
measurement, and analytical data. So with Saturn moving into Gemini, everything, I mean, and this is also great for you as well, as far as career, it means that your show and the things that you do are going to be moving to another level, are going to be moving to a much higher technology, and everything that relates to communications through the air, wireless communications, cell phones, wireless modems, wireless computers. As a matter of fact, I'll make a prediction. Within 45 days, you are going to hear an announcement from the father of the cell phone about some major new advance that's going to have to do with cell phone technology.
Maybe they'll start to make them work right.
Yeah, and PDAs, personal assistants. But remember now, if you want to get in, and this is the NASDAQ stuff, if you really want to get into this, some of the stocks you got to get. And one of the things that I would recommend is something that you're on the pioneering edge of, is XM, the digital satellite radio.
Mm-hmm.
This technology is going to take off. It's going to be mired in some problems in the spring, but directly after April and June, you watch. This technology is going to go nuts. And remember, their competitor is a company called Sirius, right? Mm-hmm. And so those two stocks, as far as buying, it's already gone up. I think just in the last month, it went from about $3 a share, and now it's at almost 12. I think 10 to 12. I think I didn't check it today.
Boy, I missed that one.
But the buying of the stock, for example, Nextel, Siemens, Motorola, Sprint, AT&T,
communications technology,
Ericsson, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the big link. And of course, once again, about April or so, you're going to be hearing major new advances in chip technology. I just bought a little toy the other day that I really like. It's one of these iPod things from Macintosh.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's the size of a pack of cigarettes. And it's got 5 gig in this thing. 5 gig. And I'm thinking this is 1,000, this is almost 1,000,000 times
yes.
faster than the first computer I bought back in, I don't know, the early 80s. And this thing, you can put 100 CDs on this thing. All of, well, 100 CDs, 1,000 songs on this little box that you can now carry in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, that's something to think about, isn't it?
So here we've got, but at the same time, we've got all these massive advances in computer technology and cellular phones, communications. I mean, here's where it's going. We're about 3 years away now from them taking all the stuff that they've done in Europe, where they just, because they can't wire these old towns in Italy, they just park a cell phone tower dead center and give everybody a cell phone. The idea is that they want to now assign not only a social security number to everybody, but a phone number to everybody. So that your phone number, you actually have a personalized phone number that you will carry with you, that you will own, like a web domain.
Well, I just hope it gets better. These cell phones sound like crap. And I think they should all be recalled and burned, and people should be given something good.
Well, in all fairness, you're out in Pahrump, where Area 51 is like bombarding you with microwaves every day.
I get cell phone calls from all over the world. I'm an expert on the sound of cell phones, and there's improvement coming.
Right.
All right. Gosh, so much to cover, and we just don't have enough time.
Yeah, we got calls in the office.
Yeah, I know, we do. But, you know, to finish up, I wanted to finish up a little bit on the war.
Okay.
There are other areas of the world that are deeply Muslim, and, you know, for example, Indonesia,
right.
which probably has more than any other single country in the world, as far as I know. What's going to happen with these countries? Is this going to turn into a religious war? Much as I know we say we don't want that, we're not out to get the Muslim world, we don't want a war with the Muslim world, is it inevitable?
Right now, as everything looks, yes. There are now Muslim uprisings. We're actually seeing history repeat itself. There are going to be things that are going to happen in December and January of this year too, where it's literally going to induce this siege mentality of us versus them. I mean, there's going to be in the United States some very serious social problems in the forms of riots and literally blood in the streets in some areas that are going to have to do with Muslims versus Christians is what it's going to come down to.
Can you tell us what the destiny of America is, short term and long term?
Well, I take a lot of heat for this because I'm a personal believer that America has a divine destiny. And I think that there are two very specific sets of prophecies that relate directly to both Israel as the ancient land of Canaan and the new land or the new Jerusalem that's described as the land that's being prepared in the wilderness. And, I think that the divine place of America had a lot to do with the writing of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution as a document which mirrors biblical truths. That for the first time in some 5,000 years, we actually reversed everything. That power wasn't coming from a single sovereign king downwards to the mere peasants, sort of rolling around in the muck. To reversing that, to now saying that we, the people, that each man is a sovereign citizen, is a sovereign king, in and of his own right. And of course, the king owned all the land and all the guns. And so it was a revolutionary concept to say no, individuals can now own land and own guns. So the divine purpose, I think, of the United States is going to be, as much of the world descends, as I said, about 2005, this hole that humanity seems to fall in, with disease and war. And chaos, that the United States is going to be one of the safer places in the world, specifically the central part of the United States, I think there's one last great war. We're going to see the Islamic conflict coming between now and 2007, this war cycle we're in. Things calm down for a period of time because then there's a series of earth changes and some very heavy-duty earthquakes and electromagnetic disruptions in the earth field coming around 2012.
Do you know the location of them?
Well, yeah, it's going to be the whole 2012 idea is going to be global. I mean, what I'm seeing in 2012 has to do with a huge destabilization of the actual electromagnetic poles, not a shift of the poles, but an electromagnetic shifting. In other words, the electromagnetic field just kind of goes crazy and starts wobbling like an Irishman on, say, Patrick's Day.
We've already seen the magnetic field wobbling beyond normal limits.
Well, that would then take it to, I mean, everything I'm talking about. I'm writing this next month's newsletter, the Delphi Associates newsletter, about 2012. About everything that comes to 2012. The time coding is, let me just rattle off 2012 real quick here. The uniqueness about 2012 is, there's some people that are now saying, which are complete nonsense. People are saying that the Mayan calendar ends in 2003. It's horse bucky. The Mayan calendar ends in December 23rd, December 21st, I think it is, on the equinox. It's moving. Of 2012, because of the alignment of the sun directly with the exact center of the galaxy, 27 degrees Sagittarius, which brings some kind of amazing new energy to the planet. However, at the same time, a series of military reports in a book called World in Peril, these military reports specifically stated back in the 1960s that the electromagnetic fields of the Earth were off kilter because we literally knocked the planet off its axis with nuclear testing. And that, of course, we've dropped, our biggest enemy in the world, if you count it by nuclear bombs dropped, is, of course, the evil city of Las Vegas and the state of Nevada, since we've dropped 2,700 nuclear weapons on ourselves, 60 miles from downtown Vegas.
Actually, even closer to me, so we're really tilted.
Yeah, you're up there where the Area 13 is right close to you, which is where they do all the underground testing as well.
That's right, yes.
So it's, So the idea was is that the Earth's been knocked slightly off its axis, the electromagnetic field is now shifting, and this military report very clearly states, and you mirror it in your excellent book, The Coming Global Superstorm, that these electromagnetic fields shifting will create massive winds, gigantic storms, huge hurricanes, and eventually the military believes that sometime between 2011 and 2014 that there will be an electromagnetic shift to the poles.
And all of this dates back to the above ground and beneath ground testing?
That's what they claim.
Do you know, Sean, I worked at KWN in Las Vegas, where I'm still carried today, and I used to go on the air on KWN and read warnings to people who were, high on buildings doing cleaning and all the rest of it, telling them when the nuclear test was coming. I used to read that on the air.
It's shocking. It's just well, it's jammed the planet slightly off its axis, and the wobble is beginning to increase. So we've got a number of different things. With the Mayan calendar ending in 2012, you then have these military reports that talk about an electromagnetic shifting of the poles in 2012. You then have two very specific linchpin dates that are given in the Great Pyramid of Giza, that if you understand the time coding and the sacred geometry of the Great Pyramid, that right at 2005, and you, I know you've been down there, down into the pit underneath the pyramid.
I have, yes.
When you go down there, you come out through that hole where you have to sort of hunch down and crawl on your hands and knees for about 50 yards or so.
Right.
And you come out into the pit standing against the wall. That right there is approximately the year 1900, right where you're standing. And as you go forward to that wall, the actual lip of the pit itself is approximately the year 2005. Now, a group of people can actually make it around the pit. If you're aware enough, and of course the initiations in the pyramid were done in the dark, if you're aware enough and they can actually stick your foot forward and realize that there's a pit there and make your way around the pit, the prophetic intimation is that there is a large group of humanity that does not fall in this hole. And by the way, the hole starts in 2005 and then has a series of sort of tiered ledges on the way down. And the very bottom of that pit is the year 2012.
All right. On that note, hold it. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be back with more. My guest is Sean David Morton, a very accurate, well, we shouldn't call him a psychic, should we? Intuitive? How's that? Nicer word. I'm Art Bell.
Her hair is hollow gold. Her lips sweet surprise. Her eyes are never cold.
think twice. She's pure as New York snow.
Once again, Sean David Morton. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank you.
So, again, so much to talk about. I want to touch on Bible code a little bit, if we can. There's so much controversy about Bible code. I'm not sure myself what to believe, Sean. Do you believe that anything at all connected with Bible codes is legit?
It's so much of the Bible code that the problem with people that don't like the Bible code is that you can pick out a lot of different things as far as the pages in the Hebrew itself, and you can put in three stooges and come out with Mo poked their eyes or something. And, so there are different things that you can come up with. There was a the original Israeli scholars started coming up with this, realizing that they could only take the totality of the code itself by running it through basically supercomputers and understanding that the computers themselves could unlock the code. There's been a number of things that have already been predicted, I think very successfully, with using the Bible code techniques, including the about a year before it happened, the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin,
mm-hmm.
where these same scholars tried to warn Rabin and even found the name of his killer actually running directly through Rabin's name in the code itself. Interestingly enough, that when Michael Drazen wrote his Bible code book, which was, I think, 97. Already there was a prediction that I'd made back in 1994 in the Vajra Chronicles, which we then put up on the web, which we actually reprinted last month after a lot of this, the things in New York happened, because in 94 it predicted Pakistan getting the nuclear weapons. It said, specifically that there would be attacks on New York directly at and then after the turning of the Great Age, that there would be attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. One of the things that was said there was that Jerusalem would be attacked with nuclear weapons in 2006. And one of the things that Drazen points out in his book, Bible Code, and I think you actually had him on your show a couple of times, specifically points to two very specific times in the Bible Code where it talks about 1996, a series of events coming together that could result in the destruction of Jerusalem, and then that timeline was avoided, and all coming back together again in 2006, with specifically in the code itself, it's unusual because it has actually got the word Jerusalem and the word atomic weapon actually rolling directly through Jerusalem. The actual code is Jerusalem with atomic weapon then running through the bottom of it, and then scroll, he opened it, World War, Ariel, which is also an ancient Hebrew word for Jerusalem, slash Jerusalem. And it's unusual that the actual that Isaiah himself says something about Ariel, the great Jerusalem. Let me see if I can actually where he talks specifically about that. Brought low, you will speak from the ground, your speech will mumble out of the dust, your voice will come ghost-like from the earth. And it is interesting that you now have Ariel Sharon as the prime minister of Israel at this point in time. Specifically talking about the code with Syria, encoded with the word World War, which is unusual because you actually have World War running through Russia, China, the USA. But Syria specifically with atomic weapons. Looking as far as the Bible code is concerned, the possibility of war with Syria, which was avoided in 96, but another war with Syria coming up in 2006 with atomic weapons used by Syria, and even the word Assad for Armageddon, Harmageddon, Mount Megiddo, Assad, Holocaust, shooting from the military post, Syria, Gog, land of Magog, a great horde, a mighty army, Gog, Magog. These are all things connected to it. And, of course, Syria is directly north of Jerusalem, and Assad is actually the name of the leader of Syria. So there were a couple of codes here that I just thought were kind of fun and certainly very interesting that came from a number of the codes that are being bandied about out there. For example, coronal mass ejection. We were just talking about the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Is actually found in Numbers 1:29, and it says coronal. And I'm just reading the words as they come out in the chain. Coronal mass ejection, red night, sun, WW1, WW3, precursor. And then it's Osama bin Laden comes from Numbers 1:45. Bin Laden. Terrorist, World Trade Center, Cole, which is, of course, the name of the ship that he blew up.
Of course.
Leader, Holy War, Will Strike Again.
Wow.
Those are the words. New York City. I'll just read a few of these off because I think they're interesting. New York City. Mystery, Babylon, NYC, Destroy, Desolation, Seal, Destruction, Judgment, Earthquake, Wave, Riot. Taliban. Comes from Genesis 35:24. Taliban, Terror, Attack, Target, USA, PLA, Nuke, Violent, Evil, Persecutor, World Trade Center, Plane, Crash, Devastation, Terrorist.
Wow.
Biological Warfare, Genesis 3:11. Biowar, Anthrax, Strike, USA, and this is really interesting, USA, Panic, The Nation, Target Through Mail, Money, Spread Fear. So if this is correct, then we can actually look at the next major anthrax or inhalation or attack being actually spread by people putting literally anthrax powder on money and circulating it through the consumer base.
Do you have any idea the source of this anthrax attack?
It's governmental. I mean, if it's inhaled anthrax, it's got to be something that comes from a government. And I'm convinced that they're going to eventually track it down to Saddam, because he's got enough of this stuff actually going around that is weapons grade anthrax.
Yeah, I think we know now. It's certainly weapons grade that has been sent. I mean, fierce stuff, bad stuff.
It's really nasty.
I thought, Sean, that they were going to come up with the source of this stuff, and I haven't really heard anything about that yet.
It's coming up out of, people don't, jeez, after the Gulf War, we allowed something like 2,000 of Saddam's supposedly defecting Republican Guard into the United States, where we then settled them in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is, of course, right near Oklahoma City. One of the things that is not really reported about the Oklahoma City bombing and Timothy McVeigh, remember John Doe number 2 that everybody said looked like a Middle Eastern man? A lot of people thought it was an Iraqi.
Sure.
But he was hanging out with these Iraqi pilots and soldiers, and there's a lot of them in the United States. And these, we're not just talking about some, schlub running a grocery store. We're talking about trained military personnel that were actually taken after the war, brought into the United States, given citizenship, and then parked in communities that we knew a lot of them were double agents coming and going. And let me tell you that just the scope of how much the government knew before this. I was up in San Francisco last month, and I was having dinner with a high school buddy of mine who's now a deputy sheriff, my buddy Jim Grima up there. And he's a deputy sheriff that runs the Santa Clara County Jail. And he said that in August, this was 3 weeks before the attack, they were actually given a lecture by a counterterrorist, a guy who ran the counterterrorist unit specifically for the CIA, who came in and was talking to Santa Clara County sheriffs. And he said, we are expecting over the next several months a series of terrorist attacks in the United States. This is August. We're talking about August 20th here. And he says their targets are specifically going to be the Golden Gate Bridge, the Vincent Thomas Bridge in Los Angeles, Mount Rushmore, the White House, the Washington Monument, and specifically, and he said this, an airplane attack against the World Trade Centers.
Wow. All right, so much to cover. Sean, I want to point you in a different direction.
Sure.
We got some news the other night from Linda Moulton Howe that is a real world rocker.
Mm-hmm.
Pauline Zelitsky, who did the side scan sonar images of the incredible stuff off the coast of Cuba, has now come back with photographs.
Uh-huh.
Photographs, Sean, of inscriptions in stone 2,200 feet below sea level.
Yeah, I heard the show the other night. It was fascinating.
Good. I'm glad you did. Where are we going with this?
Well, it's Atlantis. I mean, everything everything that we're looking at shows that there was some hyper-advanced civilization approximately 12,000 years ago that seems to have undergone some gigantic cataclysm. And in everything, this was obviously a promo for the Atlantis movie that Disney was putting out. And, of course, Disney owns ABC. There was that special that was hosted by Tom Skerritt.
Right.
Who came out and said, well, Cuba is Atlantis. After all this rigmarole of looking for it in South America and all these different places, that Cuba is the Atlantis that's talked about by Plato, that you jump in the Gulf Stream and it takes you pretty much directly there. I mean, I believe that we're going to see the ancient land masses begin to rise after the, or, you know, because my trigger point was to watch Montserrat, which of course has been blowing now for several years.
Right.
That the next trigger was going to be Mount Pelée on the island of Martinique, which is part of the Lesser Antilles, that once Mount Pelée blew, you would then see a series of substantial earthquakes on the west coast and a rising land mass directly off the coast of Florida. You know, this is over about the next 20 years or so. But you'll see the land mass rise, and as you see these land masses rise, I mean, I've seen in my projections to the future of 100 years from now, that entire area off of specifically Cuba and the Bahamas is actually called New Atlantis. It's like a whole new continent that begins to come rising out of the ocean. And, of course, at the expense of that is much of Florida, which is already at or below sea level in most of the places. Florida becomes a larger chain of islands directly off the coast there.
Wow.
And I think that there's a timed release of this information. It's almost as if everything's rushing towards about 2005, 2006 of releasing this information of the block that's been placed has been so much to deny us our history, I guess the grandeur of the human species, that we have had super technology using human beings on this planet for many more thousand years, thousands of thousands, going back quite possibly millions of years. The evidence we have stretches back at least a couple hundred thousand years. And a great cataclysm approximately about 12,000 years ago, which we may be due for another fairly soon, that relates directly to the pyramids of Giza, that relate to this amazing find off the coast. And your coverage of this has been astounding. I think that
thank you.
It's just been fabulous that you're keeping people informed of this. But everybody that's curious out there, everybody knows that we go through these points in a cycle where we develop some kind of super technology, and I think it has to, a lot to do with like a racial vibration, that each race actually gets fit into this wheel, if you will. So before us, it was probably the red race, and before that was the black race, and before that was the yellow race, and each one of these races gets to the top of this, whatever this karmic wheel is. We then have the technology to then either move off the planet, maybe ascend to another dimension of reality, or destroy the world. And in some cases, both things happen. Some people ascend and go off, and then they leave the planet to the stupid people to destroy. And it seems that we've been going through this cycle approximately every 12,000 years or so.
All right, but bottom line is, the catastrophes. Bottom line is, it's Atlantis. Right?
Absolutely, it is.
Okay.
I think it's a Cretan civilization that has to do with the Minoans because they're going to start finding the same things that they're going to find in England that they found in England and Crete and Greece. They're now going to start finding on the other side of the Atlantic, but underwater, exactly like we have now.
All right, one more subject, not just one more, but another, and that is, you mentioned chemtrails, you mentioned HAARP.
Right.
One of the stated goals of HAARP, way back in the beginning, they admitted it, was to look for underground tunnels and bunkers.
Right.
Now, let's think about this for a second. What are we looking for in Afghanistan? Underground tunnels and bunkers.
And bunkers.
Is it likely that HAARP is being utilized? Would it surprise you to know HAARP is active? Do you think it's being utilized to look for underground tunnels and bunkers?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the shuttle can do it. We can now, and the way HAARP does it, just to explain to you briefly, is that it creates a hardened lens, like a pocket of air in the upper atmosphere, and then it can actually then bounce any kind of wave. I mean, you can bounce X-rays, microwave, all kinds of stuff. You can then bounce off this hardened shell in the upper atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what HAARP does. You can do the same thing from the space shuttle. But I think we're also looking for... I think that there are certain sections of the government that are looking for caches of advanced super technology, possibly Atlantean technology,
mm-hmm.
Going back however many thousands of years. I mean, obviously, if you get your hands on something like the Ark of the Covenant as the ultimate weapon... or find out maybe where the Hall of Records is, underneath the Giza Plateau somewhere.
Will we get our hands on the Ark?
Yes. It comes a while from now. It's I think that there is an ark. There were a number of arks, actually, in the Old Testament. There wasn't just one. There were, I think, three in the Old Testament. But I do think that you'll find an ark and a staff of Ra and quite possibly a caduceus in the box underneath the sinks, which, unfortunately, Zahi Hawass won't really let anybody go near.
I know.
You know, it's the Japanese found it in the 70s, and then Stanford confirmed it in the 80s, and then the Japanese came back again in 96, not only saying that there was a box underneath the Sphinx, but there was some sort of electromagnetic field actually around this box.
You and I both know Zahi.
Yeah.
Do you think that Zahi knows a whole lot more than he'll let on?
Well, in my research, we cannot let people fool around with the pyramid. If you mess with the pyramid, I will take my foot and put it in your backside.
Yeah, you really got him down. That's Zahi, all right.
Zahi would say, because I said, well, why can't we just drill a hole and put a camera down? Because then, if I let the crazy Americans come, then the Germans get angry.
Yeah.
And if they get angry, the French get angry. And if the Japanese do something, then everybody gets angry with me. It's my job to protect pyramid. 100 years from now, I don't want them to blame Zahi Hawass because pyramid has been destroyed.
Folks, he's got Zahi right down. It's true. That's exactly how he sounds.
When can I come to America and have some nice American girls?
Yeah. yes, but my real question is, do you think he knows?
He's got to. He's got another dig going on in Bahir, which is going to be another big thing. The whole Tomb of Osiris thing, he kept secret. When I actually saw the entrance back in 96, and I took pictures of it and published it in the Delphi newsletter, to the whole Tomb of Osiris, and he managed to get that fairly hush-hush for about 2 years or so.
Yes.
And, you know, I saw it. I had a guy who was a friend of mine from when I was a kid living there, you know, unlock the gate and take me in and show me this hole. Says, well, it's down there. It was all flooded when I was there in 96. How much he actually does know, remember, you know, Zahi's whole thing is to kind of make sure the establishment archaeological timeline doesn't get too screwed up. But at the same time, he also does admit that, you know, it's possible that the Sphinx is maybe 12,000 years old, because there's been enough scientific evidence presented that the area around the Sphinx is 12,000 years old.
Okay, we're short on time. I'm going to take that as a yes.
Yes.
Is that? Okay, that's a yes, folks.
Yes.
Can you imagine satellites looking down on us?
Mm-hmm.
Heart looking down on us?
I know you can see me now, here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and
all right, we are going to get phone line open here, at least for a little bit, for Sean David Morton. Are you there, Sean?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how about a few questions?
Great to talk to everybody.
The audience. All right, here it comes. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hello.
Yes, sir. Art, I hope your back is feeling better.
Oh, much better. Thank you.
And my question is this. When does Sean expect this federation to come together between the United States, Canada, and Mexico? And what will be the implications of this federation for the U.S. as well as the world?
Oh, great question. One of the things that I'd predicted was that you would see, and this is all the way back in between 92 and 94, that you would see the NAU, the North American Union. You're already seeing it happening now. I mean, it's called NAFTA. It's called the Free Trade Treaty of the North Americas. What I saw happening was that after a series of earth changes and political and economic collapses in the United States, once again, beginning around 2005 or so, that you would actually see a 13-nation-state confederation, which would actually make up Western Canada and what is left of Mexico. I say what is left because I think you're going to see fracturing quakes as the as Cocos Plate begins to actually shift, which is going to inundate a large section of the isthmus of Central America, that is going to cause some pretty wholesale destruction in Mexico, specifically Mexico City, which will be where the worst death toll of a series of earthquakes happening will occur. Mexico City is, I mean, it's built on a swamp, for God's sakes, and it, with no building codes and no real bedrock under it. And if there was a major quake in Mexico City, that whole area would liquefy and everything would just sort of sink into the ground. So, once again, this whole linchpin, you're already seeing a Saturn-Pluto opposition right now, which is beginning to break up governmental structures here in the United States and around the world. You're going to see another one in April and June. There's going to be some things that are going to happen in December. Watch the 9th of December specifically, that are going to have to do with either the imposition of a national identification card, which I think leads to, a chipping of the populace, the whole Mark of the Beast scenario, the digital angel Mondex scenario that so many people have been talking about for so many years is now becoming a reality. And I also think that this is one of the reasons why Bush was put into office in the first place, is because with him being a supposedly right-wing Republican Christian, he's getting away with so much more in regards to taking away social freedom. I mean, if Gore had done this kind of stuff, Rush Limbaugh would have lit himself on fire on the White House lawn. And yet the Republicans are taking away rights right, left, and center. And I mean, even the fact that they call it the Homeland Security Office, which is exactly what Hitler called it in Germany, and it was something called the Gestapo, is a little scary.
By the way, you have made a specific prediction with regard to the president that I will not air. I suppose it's probably on your website, right?
Right.
Okay, so people can see it there. What about Dick Cheney? Can you tell me anything without getting me in trouble?
All I can tell you is we're in a political cycle right now, going all the way back to 1920. Warren G. Harding was elected president in 1908. He was a Republican governor of Ohio. Warren G. Harding died of a heart attack, actually, in San Francisco in 1923, where Calvin Coolidge took over. And if you actually hold a picture of Calvin Coolidge and Dick Cheney side by side, I mean, he looks like the reincarnation of Calvin Coolidge. They look like they were separated at birth. The biggest thing with Cheney to watch is his, how can we say, incumbency as president, is to watch his wife, Lynn, specifically, because she's going to have a great deal to say about whether or not he actually even stays in public office. And it's going to be, it's just going to be interesting to watch what's going to happen, because he's going to be very involved with the upheaval, with the war, with his incumbency. An ascension to a much more powerful position than he's in now. And, the decision by his wife as to whether or not he will, run as a presidential candidate in 2004.
Yeah, I can imagine under the circumstances she would have a lot to say about that.
Yes, so she's going to be making a lot of news in regards to what's going on with Cheney, and specifically the election in 2004. The real nightmarish possibility here is that if something, God forbid, should maybe happen to the president, and if Cheney doesn't run in 2004 maybe as an incumbent, you're pretty much looking at Hillary Clinton running for the Democratic nomination and quite possibly becoming the next president of the United States.
Okay. Wild card line, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hello.
Hello, Art. Hello, Sean.
Hi.
Been a lot of interest expressed in Atlantis here on Coast to Coast in the last few weeks.
Great stuff.
And yes, it is. And I just wanted you both to know, and your audience to know, that 10,017 years ago, the Bach family decided that 17 years ago, in other words, 10,000 years later, they would start bringing out the Bach Saga, which gives a very, very accurate and very detailed picture of a global civilization on this planet long before written history, and offers us a paradigm in which the current discoveries that pertain to Atlantis might be viewed with a great deal more accuracy. I'm wondering if there's anything shows up on your radar, on your map reading.
Yeah, you're pretty much exactly right. I'm saying that this continent begins to rise again directly off the coast of Cuba, which in the future is called New Atlantis, and people start moving there, and it's called New Atlantis simply because of all the discoveries of that particular area was Atlantis. And this was a map that I published all the way back in, I guess, with this original manuscript back in 1992, that I think I reprinted actually in the Vodger Chronicles, which we're going to give everybody for free if they subscribe to the newsletter tonight. So,
might as well get another plug in.
All right, here's the plug for the newsletter. It's okay. Really easy. You guys want to order the newsletter? It's $60 for a year. It's $99 for a two-year subscription. We do have a senior discount of $45. And I just boiled it down to one number. There's operators there standing by 24 hours. The number's 888-452-4500. 888-452-7999. And if you order it now, we have a special. If you want to pay an extra $12, we'll deliver it to you first class, USPS, in an envelope and everything. And if you order it now, you'll get a free issue. You'll get the double issue of the Vodger Chronicles, which was the October issue. And so you'll get 13 issues for your first year. It's also it's tax deductible as well, because we're a religious educational nonprofit organization. So all donations are tax deductible. So you get a newsletter, it's tax deductible, and we send you one free first class mail right away. So 888-452-7999.
There you go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Hi, where are you, please?
In Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan.
Okay.
And Sean, I had a question about the New Madrid fault line. When it when it last went in 1812 or so,
right,
we don't have any records up here of what happened, but the next time that it goes, we have a feeling from our prophecies that it's going to be twice as severe as it was prior.
Well, it's hard to be twice as severe because it was supposedly an 8.6. Back in 1812, it rang bells in Canada and made the Mississippi River run backwards. And people don't realize the New Madrid Fault is the single most dangerous fault line in the United States. The San Andreas is nothing compared to the New Madrid Fault. The San Andreas at least has smaller fault lines that run off it that we call faultines that actually act as shock absorbers for the main quake. The New Madrid Fault doesn't have any of that. It's two giant land masses, the North American landmass and the Eastern American landmass, actually just butting together. And they run right through. It was actually interesting because the Super Bowl a few years back, running right through the Tennessee Titans versus the St. Louis Rams, the New Madrid Fault runs directly through both of those cities. And you know, that's going to be the great demarcation. This is one of the things that that I've seen that opens up, that makes the Mississippi River almost 100 miles wide. It was one of the major prophecies and predictions of Edgar Cayce. It's one of those obvious predictions that if the New Madrid Fault was to go say, once again, maybe this is the 2005 thing that everybody sees between 2003 and 2005. That's just one of those big predictions that you can't really put a time on because it's one of those massive earth change predictions that I think that human beings interacting with the planet in a certain way it can affect the earth and the land on which they live. So it's one of those things that's very difficult to hang a time frame on.
Well, we were concerned because the last time the Northern Lights were out, the moon was rising behind them and it was blood red.
Yes.
And to we Native Americans, that's a sign of A, a coming war, and B, this fault line again becoming active
because of
the different things.
You're absolutely right. I think that the biggest places to watch, I'm just looking at the map right now, as you just watch, is to watch earthquake activity in Tennessee, Nashville, all the way up into Ohio, Indiana. I was on TV last September talking about seeing a big activation of earthquakes in the Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, all the way over to the Illinois area. I mean, this whole center part. The biggest thing right now, there's two, not to get off your question, the two biggest thing that I want people to pay attention to is that between now and the two biggest headlines you're going to see as far as earth changes are going to be very substantial earthquakes in the east. We're talking about Maine, New York, and Pennsylvania. And these are big quakes. These are going to be, we're looking at between 3 to 6 months, so between now and the spring of next year, I'm picking up a huge amount of earthquake activity in upstate New York. I don't know what it is about New York. It just keeps getting pounded over and over. Sorry?
It's Hillary.
Yeah, right. And the other thing is going to be, has to do with, Seattle and Washington. It's, my prediction was that the 7.0 quake that happened last February was the beginning of the ticking clock for an eruption of Mount Rainier, sometime in late 2002 to the beginning of 2003. So the two coasts, having to do with the Washington-Seattle area, specifically a triangle between Mount Baker, Mount Adams, and Mount St. Helens, then leading up to Mount Rainier, with activation of volcanic activity in Washington. And also California, which is now, according to geologists, spreading out nicely, I think because of military tests and explosions and a series of controlled roll earthquakes here in California. California is spreading out nicely, but is actually crushing the states of Oregon and Washington, which is why you're seeing a lot of this increased activity, and will see increased activity in Oregon and Washington. But watch Maine, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, eastern seaboard, 3 to 5 months for substantial quakes. I'm talking, you know, 5.5 to 6.0 quakes that have never been seen before on the East Coast, to some rather devastating effects.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Sean David Morton. Good morning.
This is Irene from Santa Fe.
Yes, Irene.
Hi, Irene. Two of my favorite people.
Thank you.
And I have a chemtrail voice.
Thank you.
2.5 years already. With all the experimentation which has been taking place for many years now, could it be that the people at the top, the people in charge, are somewhat brain damaged by now?
Well, certainly George Bush is. I think that. If you're a politician, I think you're pretty brain damaged. I don't really know how to answer that question. All I can tell you is that.
Trust me when I say, don't try.
Okay, the political thing that you see on TV every day is just a puppet show. You know, nobody seems to look more at the guy whose hand is up the puppet, so to speak. And
All right.
My grandmother used to say, if voting really changed anything, they would have made it illegal a long time ago.
All right, before you get in too much trouble, first time caller line, you're on the air with Sean Morton. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, sir, where are you?
Good. I'm in Yorba Linda, California.
Hey, homeboy, Yorba Linda.
Yeah, that's right. We met years ago in Costa Mesa at some meetings, and I up on 17th Street.
Yeah, great.
Upstairs. Anyway, Sean, question for you.
Sure.
A while back, you had mentioned that there was it's escaping me, the name of the company that was going to introduce some new technology.
Omnigon,
yes. Right. And they were picked up by Invest in America.
They were actually, Invest America bought, strange enough, 666,666 shares of Omnigon. Why 666666, I don't know.
And then
Omnigon morphed into another company called OIP, Omnigon International Products.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're some different company now.
It is, because
yeah.
I picked up some Invest in America and trying to follow the trail.
Well, INVT went from, I think when I first started recommending it, it went from 6 cents a share all the way up to about 52 cents a share, and now it's back to about 18 cents a share.
Do you have a question, sir?
Yes, I do. Do you still see that, is Invest in America going to introduce that technology?
No. Invest in America was never really introduced. The reason I talked about Omnigon specifically was because Omnigon had a body of technology that was coming out of EENG, which is one of the major contractors that works out of Area 51. They were going to release what I believed was a series of mathematical algorithms that quite possibly could have been based on alien technology that would increase the transmission of broadband information by over 10,000 times. Invest America, in order to invest in Omnigon, you had to buy blocks of shares at like $100,000 at $6 a share. This was, of course, before the bottom fell out of the NASDAQ. INVT, Invest America, bought all these shares in Omnigon, so by investing in Invest America, you could by proxy invest in Omnigon. Invest America has now sold all their shares of Omnigon. Omnigon's now morphed into OIP. There's another company called Celterra that's trying to put up a fiber optic network, but so far, the other shoe hasn't dropped. They
all
have
right,
not
Sean,
yet released the technology.
Sean, the show is ending.
Okay.
We're just flat out of time, my friend.
Gotcha.
Listen, thank you so much for once again appearing on the program. I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.
And you too, my friend. I hope you're better and happy and healthy and well, and the very best to you, and may mighty angels keep you and bless you always. I
thank
very
you.
Much appreciate you
thank
and
you.
Everything you do.
Thank you so much, and good night.
Good night.
All right, I want to take this just a couple of seconds here to say thank you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. Eat hearty. They tell me Americans are going to be eating hearty this Thanksgiving. Please do that. I'll leave you with a song that Crystal Gayle sang for me and brought to me. It's going to be out on a CD, a new album, soon. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert.
Midnight in the desert.
Ta-ta.
Shooting stars across the sky.